you got power. Please do not ask for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
Say that progress is being made. If you pick a 1999 engine and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is doing the wound that's below that the low knee.
In this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. Ooh, we have much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We have much to talk about. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. Yep, you need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. I have to start with what I know. I did a little survey yesterday, with folks at the gas station yesterday when I went to fill up my truck. And everybody that I spoke to was, I don't know, the best way to describe it is they were having a controlled, controlling their fury. People did not want to or did not seem to want to clown as much as they could, as they should. They were furious, but you know what the one common message that they all had? Everybody said George Bush's name. It was fascinating. Now this is anecdotal. This is not a blind study. This is not a study of thousands and thousands of people. This is an anecdotal story coming from talking to about 5 or 6 people filling up their tanks the same time that I'm filling up my tank. Whose fault do you think this is? Everybody said George W. Bush. Now, that's kind of remarkable when you think about it. And again, this is just a, this is, are we a blue state or a red state? We're a red state. Now, we're probably in a blue city, but this is a red state. And for everybody to point their finger at George W. Bush doesn't bode well for this administration, doesn't bode well for the future of this party. There is so much fury out there. And it is, you know, it is almost as if there is, no, it's not almost, there is an outside force that is piling on this administration. I guess, you know, when you continue to do wrong, you can't keep it in the darkness forever. And when we look at these oil prices, these gas prices, they do not make sense in the world that we live in. They don't. They don't make sense. You cannot explain to me with any kind of reason why gas prices are as high as they are. You can't. There is nothing that exists today that didn't exist 5 years ago. In fact, people are buying fewer, bigger cars. Because people don't have the money to buy bigger cars. They're buying smaller cars. Hence, they are using less gasoline. There are tens of thousands of people who don't have their good paying jobs at GM. As I sit here and speak, that wasn't this way 3 years ago. What has happened in the world to justify gasoline? 3 years ago, gasoline was less than a dollar, wasn't it? 3 years ago, less than a dollar? Oh, and if it was a dollar, what has happened? Oh, well, let me see. 3 years ago, huh? What happened? Oh, yeah. George Bush started a war in Iraq. There is nothing that has happened in this world that justifies oil prices going up this high. Gasoline prices going up this high. And at the same time, gasoline profits exploding in a way that you can't even count. I submit to you, it would take you almost a lifetime to count from 1 to 300 million. The amount, and that's the bonus that the president of Exxon got. How long would it take you to count to 300 million? Okay, that's a long time. That's a long, long, long time. 300 million. I'm sure somebody has done a study somewhere of how long it takes to count to a million. By onesies. It's a long time. It's a long time. So, you cannot tell me, you cannot defend for me, and you have to feel the weight of the American people out there. People are attaching a name to this oil crisis that we are in, and the name is George W. Bush. The name is George W. Bush. Make no mistake about it. It's his fault. And how do we know that he's kind of getting it? He's going to have a hearing on this. Can anybody say kangaroo court? This is going to be another one of those fake sleight of hand actions that he engages in to distract us from what is the truth about who he is. Gasoline prices are over $3 a gallon in some places. Nearly $3 a gallon here. And it's George W. Bush's fault. I was reading an article the other day, and it's amazing how people are connecting the dots. People are connecting the dots on this. In Massachusetts, folks are talking about making the connection between George Bush and oil. In Illinois, there's something very special going on in Illinois. And I'm going to share that with you in just one moment. Carfo.
Good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
You know, we're going to spend millions and millions of dollars probably on this investigation into oil prices. Why don't we just cut the matter short and have this Energy Task Force meeting papers released? You know, that one Dick Cheney thumbed his nose at?
It's time to resurrect that story, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is.
It's
I was
time to
really
resurrect.
Interested in what they were crafting back then that Dick Cheney would say, no way you're getting these records.
And, you know, if there was an opposition party, that is exactly what folks would be talking about right now. I would be getting emails from the Democratic Party because I'm on their email server list. I would be getting emails from Ted Kennedy. I would be getting emails from Joe Lieberman. I would be getting emails from all of these folks out here saying, you know what, this is why it was so important for us to know what that meeting was about. Because, what is it, 3 years later? No, 6 years later. 6 years later, we now have gas prices that are unattached to, unconnected to anything that has happened in our world.
Well, I'll tell you what, when this guy is looking you in the eye and sounding most sincere and earnest, that's when you know he's lying the most. You need to wake up.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Madison.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, it's interesting. Every time Bush gets into it, well, he's always been in hot water, but when he gets in really hot water, his ratings are down, they throw out a Bin Laden tape.
Isn't it interesting? What are the odds of that? What are the odds?
And it doesn't even, it's so funny. At first, the American public, it seemed that when we first started to get these tapes, we were a little scared or alert. Now, it doesn't even faze people.
Well, I think that it doesn't faze people for two reasons. More and more people are seeing through the lies. And they are also feeling the manipulation. And the other people like, okay, I would like to be able to feel that, but I can't afford to put gas in my car. I got to feel other stuff. I don't have time to worry about whether or not what Bin Laden has to say. I don't have time to trip on that. I got to pay my rent. I got to put gas in my car and feed my family.
Absolutely. So I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you, Liz.
Thank you. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my other number. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
All righty. Yesterday we had a little brief discussion about, one of obvious topic, and that's the price of petroleum and the resulting gasoline that's derived from it. And what I mentioned was QuickTrip has ethanol, has always had ethanol in their gas. Nothing new. So I just, on my way to do my thing yesterday, just stopped at a couple gas stations. Royal Dutch Shell also has had ethanol in their fuel. as well as Quitrip. Citgo, Brother Chavez's country's petroleum distributor. So I'm trying to figure out what changeover these guys are talking about. You know, of course, the MTBE additive has been eliminated in many parts of the country. And just think about it. We're in the clear air. What is that? The Gateway Initiative for Clear Air. So most of the gas stations in the region have been MTBE free for years now. So why are we getting stuck like a squealing pig on gas prices? I'd like somebody to answer that.
Well, there is no answer to it. There is no answer to it. It's a lie. It's a distraction. It's a poorly crafted excuse designed to be fed to people that are not going to question it. That it's designed to get you to believe that there are issues and matters and situations beyond your control. Beyond anybody's control. Nobody could have thought about this. Nobody could have predicted this. Nobody could have said that this was going to happen. Oh no, it's this ethanol thing. Nonsense. Nonsense. Gas prices are the way that they are right now in the United States of America because of two reasons. Greed and George W. Bush. Greed, you know, and you know, really, you can only say you can say one and have and be talking about both of them. Greed and George W. Bush. It is his fault. It is his responsibility, and it is his to fix if he wanted to fix it. If he wanted to get your gasoline prices down today, he could get on the television instead of talking about immigration. He could get on the television right now and say, you know what? I am going to engage in an investigation designed to put the chairman of one of these oil companies in jail for price gouging. Somebody is going to jail. You know, and he could even George Bush it up. I'm the decider. I decided somebody's going to go to jail. I'm the dictator. I decided that somebody's going to go to jail. You know, I mean, he could do all the things that he does to us on other stuff. I don't have to fire Dick Cheney because I'm the decider. I don't have to explain to you why I'm not following the law and tapping your phones because I'm the dictator. He doesn't feel like he has to follow any other law. So how about not following a law that works to all of our advantage instead of only to his? Let's try that one out for a side. As long as you're not following the law, I bet you if you put one of your oil buddies in jail, gas prices will go down. I bet if you walk him up to the courthouse in an orange jumpsuit with his hands handcuffed behind his back, I bet you gas prices would go down. Betcha by golly, wow. Betcha by golly, wow. It would go down. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. My toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Tell everybody to be happy, happy. I just heard on the news that George Bush is going to investigate the price gouging.
And what is his investigation going to consist of?
The oil.
Huh?
The oil.
Huh?
You hear me?
I heard you, but it doesn't make any sense.
Happy, happy, happy.
Yeah, happy, happy, joy, joy. We all can relax and get on with our business because George Bush is on it, right?
Oh, yeah, he's going to investigate.
Okay.
I heard it this morning.
Oh, all right, then.
All right.
All right, all is well. I'll change topics.
Go, girl.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. We're going to take a break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get up or get to me. We have much to talk about. Today, I'm late for work again. Even if I'm never alone in flight.
Valley Barbershop singers are getting ready for their annual show, Harley's Comet, on Friday and Saturday. Tickets are on sale now at the Florissant Civic Center and from any barbershopper. For more information, call 314-921-4043. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Hi, I'm Amy Cammy.
And I'm Anita Green.
Join us every Tuesday morning at 11 for Awaken to Yourself.
It's the show where you'll discover ways to take care of your body, experience your feelings,
relax your mind, embrace your dreams, and do what you love. If you're at work, listen online at WGNU.net.
You won't want to miss it.
Awaken to Yourself, Tuesdays at 11.
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Sims. Eastbound 40 at 94 and Boone Bridge, look for an overturned vehicle. Only the right lane is getting by. Traffic's back up to near Highway K. Westbound 40 between Boone Bridge and 94. Left lane closed due to an accident in the eastbound lanes. Eastbound 40 at Van Meter, look for road construction going on there. Northbound 270, 44 in Marshall, look for slight delays. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks all the way into Old Halls Ferry, look for no problems reported. Eastbound 40 from Timberlake Manor to back to Long Road is normal. Westbound 255 from Cope to 55, look for no problems there. Northbound 55 at 141 and Lindbergh is on the move. Westbound 5570 at Poplar Street Bridge, look for traffic building there. Northbound Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge, traffic is building on all of those approaches. And westbound Kingbridge traffic, look for no problems to report. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, providing highly skilled financial temporary professionals for over 58 years. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Breezy, cooler, showers and thunderstorms likely throughout the day with a high around 60 this evening. Colder, breezy, mostly cloudy, low in the lower 40s. For Wednesday, partly cloudy, high in the lower 60s. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have clouds and 59 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting clouds and 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Daily Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and take it slowly. Ready or not, here I come. You can't hide. Gonna find you and make you want me.
Now that I escape sleep, walk on.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Nearly simultaneous explosions blew up rocked. Let me just do it this way. Three explosions rocked the Egyptian resort city of Dahab on Monday, killing 22 people, wounding more than 150 people during tourist seasons. This hit the central part of the city. Are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I wonder what happened to this political capital that they were talking about when they stole the second election. He was so cocky and arrogant. It's this thing called Social Security that he went on a barnstorm all over the country talking about something was going to happen.
Well, wait a minute. I don't think you're being fair. That worked out well, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right, ma'am. They did take care of that.
Quit being so negative.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Because of that No Child and Left Behind is how they're trying to steal all this public money from the public school with these vouchers.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess you're right, you know. But it's quite amazing, like the young lady mentioned earlier, about they pull up Bin Laden every time that something comes up. And do you know what the color code is now? Is it orange, green, purple, magenta? What is it? I haven't heard that in a little while.
I don't think that worked out too well for him. When was the last time we had a color code? You're absolutely right.
I haven't heard nothing about that. And somebody in the state of Virginia should put up a nice statue of a quail. Be good, young lady.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Did you hear about this? The Illinois General Assembly is about to rock the nations. Members of the state legislature are about to shatter the perception that you can't, all politics is local. Representative Yarborough stumbled on a little-known, never-utilized rule of the U.S. House of Representatives, Section 603 of Jefferson's Manual of the Rule of the United States of House of Representatives, which allows federal impeachment proceedings to be initiated by joint resolution of a state legislature. From there, Illinois House Joint Resolution 125, hereafter to be referred to as HJR 0125, was born. Now, do you hear me? There are five specific charges against George Bush, including one that is designed to be a felony. One of the points, one of the items, the one specified as a felony, was directed by George Bush's decision to spy on American citizens without warrant. Isn't that interesting? Kind of makes the whole blue dress thing just seem really, really, really stupid, doesn't it? One person had an affair outside of his marriage with an intern. One person broke the law and spied on all of us. Which one should be impeachable? One of them is breaking the law. The other one is breaking the vows of your marriage. Again, which one should be impeachable? And if the first one, if the blue dress issue is impeachable, then Jesus, God, shouldn't the one breaking the law be impeachable? Shouldn't that one be impeachable? The Illinois General Assembly is joining a huge group of people, at least a growing group of people, calling for censure or impeachment of George Bush. We're talking about Democratic state committees in Vermont, in Wisconsin, in New Mexico, in Nevada, in North Carolina, as well as residents in seven towns in Vermont, 70 Vermont state legislators, and Congressman John Conyers. The call for impeachment is starting to go beyond a fringe movement. An ABC News poll conducted on April 6 through 9 showed that 33% of Americans currently support impeaching Bush. And how do we look at this historically? How do we evaluate this? How many people, one way that you evaluate it is you compare things historically. You look back on your record. As a nation, have we been through an impeachment process, impeachment consideration before? Yeah, Richard Nixon. How many people at this point of Richard Nixon's march towards impeachment, how many people were supporting an impeachment of Richard Nixon? 33%. 33%. We have a state legislature. House Bill HJR 0125. A state legislature can do it. Ours can't because it's controlled by Republicans. They're too busy trying to push vouchers on us. State Representative Karen Yarbrough, a Democrat from Maywood, sponsored the resolution, calling on the General Assembly to submit charges to the U.S. House so its lawmakers could begin impeachment procedures. It would be the first time that it would be the first state legislature to pass such a resolution. What are the Republicans saying? You could set your watch by it. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. Wait a minute. We began impeachment proceedings against the president for a blue dress. That's ridiculous. They're saying that George Bush broke the law by spying on us. I think we should look into it, don't you? Shouldn't we at least look into it? Yarbrough has picked up two co-sponsors for her legislation, Democratic State Representative Eddie Washington and Sarah Feigenholz. According to the resolution, Bush has willfully violated the oath of his office by manipulating intelligence to start the war in Iraq, leaking classified national secrets, and authorizing illegal spying on Americans. You can't break it down any simpler than that. That's all easy to understand, isn't it? You violated your oath of office by manipulating intelligence to start the war in Iraq. You lied to get us to buy into a war. That's simple, isn't it? That's far less complicated than a stain on a blue dress. You lied to get us to go to war. You leaked classified national secrets, and you authorized illegal spying on Americans. Doesn't get any more simpler. Doesn't get any simpler. This president has acted like an emperor, and a bad emperor. And a bad one. Are you a good witch or a bad witch? Oh, you're a bad one. You are a bad one. And to support her legislation, Yarbrough is relying on a provision from Jefferson's Manual, a procedural handbook that was written by Thomas Jefferson as a supplement to the U.S. House rules. Jefferson wrote that there are various methods of setting an impeachment motion, including, quote, charges transmitted from the legislature of a state, end quote. If Yarbrough's resolution passes the General Assembly, it would go to the U.S. House, where it would be referred to the Judicial Committee. And it's up to that committee to decide what action. Of course, they're not going to take any action. You know, I mean, why would they? They're part of the criminal enterprise. Now, let's get to the real reality check. Is it going to make it through a vote, or is it going to be voted out of Illinois? That remains to be seen. I'll talk about that more when I get back from this break. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Get to me. We have much to talk about.
Talk to me while I'm listening now. All this love has a voice that we're both.
Today, visit mousecash.com without delay.
The Dimensions Dance Center presents a benefit concert at Wydown School on Saturday at 7 p.m. The center will showcase a wide variety of dance styles with pieces from all five resident companies. Tickets are $5 to $10, and sales will help finance studio programs such as the Scholarship Fund and outreach efforts. To find out more, call 314-997-7837. News to you from WGNU.
This is Jim Curran, Curran Events. Join me Tuesday evenings from 10 to 11 p.m., where we allow both sides of an issue to be heard. That's Curran Events, Tuesday nights at 10 to 11, right here on WGNU.
Register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Tehran. The lead negotiator for Iran says it plans to cut ties with the International Atomic Energy Agency if it imposes sanctions that are being sought by the United States. That warning came from Ali Larijani just days before the Friday deadline the United Nations Security Council has set for Iran to freeze its uranium enrichment program. Iran says the intent of its enrichment program is to make fuel for its nuclear reactors. America says the program can also be advanced to make the cores for nuclear weaponry. And Dateline London. The World Bank is being accused of wasting money by authorizing the purchase of medicines for malaria programs that are ineffective. That charge comes from a number of international public health experts led by Amir Attaran of the University of Ottawa. He cites a bank pledge to lend Africa over $300 million to fight malaria on the continent. His group says the bank has now backtracked on that promise and is now promising only up to $150 million for the program, and much of that will go to treatments that are now out of date, even though experts have advised the lender that more modern options are available that are more effective. The World Bank issued a statement denying the allegations and says the researchers are using data that does not tell the whole picture. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Don't forget, MELFCASH.com.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Alan Brainerd inviting you to join me every Wednesday for Design 411. Whether you live in a mansion or a studio apartment, my guests and I will share new and exciting ways to make your home truly attractive. Please join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Wednesdays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where you'll get the 411 on the things that matter most to you.
Come on to my house, I'm gone.
Who's the hero where you work? The receptionist that can balance 12 things at once? The whiz kid that can change a toner cartridge without making a mess? The assistant that finds everything you misplace? Well, now it's your turn.
All you have to do is drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard, and you could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. We'll draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and you'll be the hero of your workplace on Monday when we deliver a basket full of assorted goodies from Great Harvest Bread, Thomas Premium Blend Coffee, and WGNU Radio. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. Employees of WGNU Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. So go ahead, be a hero. Visit the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store at 9449 Olive Boulevard. Leave a business card and that's it. You could be the next WGNU Workplace Hero. Sponsored by the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit mousecash.com without delay.
Real life, on the cutting edge. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Father, stop criticizing your son. Mother, please leave your daughters alone. Don't you see that's what's wrong?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Joe Lieberman. Apparently, is too Republican for some Democrats. You think? You think? I think it's a challenge for Lieberman to reconnect to the rank and file of the party and prove he's an authentic Democrat. John McNamara, the chairman of the New Britain Democratic Town Committee in Connecticut. Bumper sticker spotted in Connecticut to read, "Anybody but Joe. I want a real Democrat in 06. Campaign buttons show Bush and Joe Lieberman in an embrace with the words, "The kiss, too close for comfort." You see, in February 2005, after Bush's State of the Union speech, the president hugged Lieberman and planted a kiss on his right cheek. Jesus. Jesus. Ooh. Call it the kiss that launched a challenge. Ned Lamont, a wealthy Greenwich businessman, is trying to snatch the Democratic nomination from Lieberman, arguing that the 64-year-old senator is, quote-unquote, Republican light. One thing that this guy, the Ned Lamont, who was trying to go after Joe Lieberman, one thing I hear whenever I go to audiences is, "Come on, Democrats, be a constructive alternative. Speak loudly and proudly for what you believe. No more mumbling." Huh. Now, Lieberman has, he has the money. He has about $4 million in his campaign coffers. All I would have to do is direct him to a little old teeny tiny little school board race here in St. Louis, where Donna Jones had $2,500, and they spent $1 million to make certain that their people got in and they didn't get in. Oh, it can be done. It can be done. There's a website, dumpjoe.com. That sound like Bump Bob? That sound like a Bump Bob campaign. That worked out pretty good for us too, didn't it? The fact of the matter is in Connecticut, the people that are supporting Joe Lieberman are largely Republican. The Republicans were trying to decide whether they were going to endorse him or not. Now, here's how it works in Connecticut. On May 20th, some 1,607 Democratic delegates will gather at the state convention. The majority winner is the party-endorsed candidate. But if the person at Lamont, that's the person who's challenging Joe Lieberman, if he gets 15% of the vote, he can force a Democratic primary. And even if he doesn't get 15% of the vote, he can petition his way onto the primary ballot on August 8th. And McNamara, again, New Britain's Democratic chairman, has said that 30% of New Britain's 31 delegates are leaning towards backing Lamont instead of Lieberman. You know how bad it is. Just feel this. They're sending Barack Obama into Connecticut to shore up support for Lieberman. Didn't Barack Obama say, no, now's not the time for a filibuster? If not now, when? Maybe looking for a kiss, too. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning. Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hello, Mr. How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding. Speak up, please. Hello?
Yes.
Okay, speak up, please. What's on your mind?
How are you doing today, Ms. Brown?
I'm fine. What's on your mind?
Okay, instead of having Hillary Clinton as president, well, we have Cynthia McKinney as president. Since she's the only Democrat with some guts.
Well, there's no question that if you're going to try to push a person out there to be the president of the United States, you need someone that is going to be fearless. And Hillary Clinton has demonstrated time after time after time, ever since she's been in there, that she's more interested in carving out a middle-of-the-road Republican-light type of position and posturing than she is trying to take any kind of... When was the last time she said she wanted universal health care?
A long time.
Not since she fought him the first time around, and it looks like they beat her down. And I'm not going to fight like that anymore. Why not, Cynthia McKinney? Why not? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. This race, this Connecticut race with Joe Lieberman, is one that bears watching. The fact that he had, and his opponent is a millionaire, multimillionaire. So he's got money to fund the campaign. He's raised $300,000 so far. He's got the money. Money to do some, and Connecticut's not a big state. It's not like he's running in Texas. He's running in Connecticut. This is a race that bears watching. And I really hope that the candidate does not simply limit Lieberman's his opposition to Lieberman simply as the war issue. He supports George Bush on so many other issues. Did he ask for a filibuster? Was he there for a filibuster for Alito? I think not. In fact, he was one of the people advocating against it. He was the first Democrat to come out and say that Bill Clinton was wrong, that he's the first one. We can do better. We can do better. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Do you need to get to me? I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
Shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made.
you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Just in time for summer driving, a pledge from President Bush to do what he can to help bring gas prices down. But the question is, can he?
In just the last few days, President Bush has ordered his Energy and Justice Departments to investigate, looking for signs of cheating or unfair manipulation of gasoline prices. He is also rolling out a 4-point plan encouraging conservation and expanding domestic production. But the president has also said for weeks there really isn't anything Washington can do short term to force the prices down. Ann Compton, ABC News, the White House.
At least four Americans are among the many people who were hurt in yesterday's bombings in Egypt. This young woman was lucky. She survived the blast in Dahab.
Just heard a really loud explosion and everyone went running.
The resort town is popular with European and Australian tourists. At least 23 people have been killed. More defiance from Iran. The country's top nuclear negotiator says it will hide its nuclear program if the West makes what he considers harsh measures. He says the military action won't stop Iran's nukes program. Court time today for Colin Finnerty, one of the two Duke University lacrosse players accused of raping a stripper at an off-campus party. It's for an unrelated arrest.
A man says Finnerty and two other men beat him outside a bar in Georgetown. Finnerty was allowed to enter a diversion program to avoid prosecution on the condition he not get into trouble again. Now that he's been arrested in North Carolina, Finnerty could face trial here. Rather than 25 hours of community service, Finnerty could spend 6 months in a D.C. jail.
ABC Stephen Portnoy in Washington. Enron founder Kenneth Lay will be back on the witness stand again today at his fraud trial. Yesterday, he said he was not behind any of the wrongdoing at the energy trading giant, and he blamed just about everyone else at the company for its collapse. This is ABC News.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com. Sign up today, and your first month is free.
There are infinite dynamics in business. There's the every customer is a repeat customer dynamic, or the pleased to meet you and here's how we can help you dynamic, or the old the customer is always right even when you know they're wrong dynamic. And to help you master such dynamics, there's Microsoft Dynamics, software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
Trouble for a popular TV talk show host. ABC's Deirdre Bryant has the story.
This woman's lover tried to kill her. Christina cheated on James with not one, but two other men.
Maury Povich, several staffers, and NBC Universal have been named in a $100 million lawsuit filed by a former producer. Bianca Nardi charges that she was forced to expose herself in the studio for crude videos shown to guests of the show. She says the executive producer ordered her to dress in short skirts and low-cut blouses. Nardi also alleges that Povich created a hostile workplace because of a longtime sexual relationship with another producer. An NBC spokeswoman denies the charges. Deirdre Bryant, ABC News.
I've played a lot of stages over the years, but there's one I never
Now, the only place you think you might find Elvis Presley and Dolly Parton is Las Vegas. Think again, they're both from Tennessee. Now the state's launching a new ad campaign to draw tourists that features the singers in a red convertible like Presley's 1967 movie Clambake. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, family and friends of a Cahokia police officer killed in the line of duty are mourning him today. 26-year-old officer Jeremy Chambers died early yesterday morning after a head-on collision with a pickup truck on Route 3. Authorities say the driver of the pickup truck was traveling the wrong way and was under the influence of alcohol. The 37-year-old St. Louis man is expected to face charges. Chambers, who is a 2.5-year veteran of the force, is survived by his parents and siblings.
The city of East St. Louis has a new city manager for the second time in less than a year. Charles Means was fired yesterday by a city council vote after only 7 months as city manager. The council has appointed Robert Betts, formerly of the city's housing authority, as Means' replacement. Finally this hour, Catholic bishops are calling on their church community to support reforms to U.S. immigration laws. The St. Louis Archdiocese joined the National Catholic Campaign Justice for Immigrants yesterday with a workshop for clergy, religious, and employees of the Archdiocese. Leo Anchando, the National Manager for Justice for Immigrants out of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops, disputes the claim that immigrants are taking American jobs.
Immigrants are clearly taking jobs that nobody else in the United States is willing to take. It is often argued that nobody else wants to take those jobs because they don't pay enough. Well, if we promote a black market by enabling our laws to do that, then it's not good for anyone.
Catholic bishops are making recommendations for immigration reforms, including expanded opportunities to reunify families, a temporary worker program, labor protection, and wages and benefits which do not undercut domestic workers. This WGNU News report is brought to you by McDonald's. Try the new Asian salad at McDonald's. Orange glazed chicken, mandarin oranges, snow peas, red bell peppers, almonds, and fresh greens with low-fat sesame ginger dressing. McDonald's, I'm loving it. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Contemps. Northbound 55 to 270, there's an accident that's been cleared on the northbound ramp to 270. Eastbound 40 from 94 all the way to Boone Bridge. An overturned vehicle has two left lanes are blocked and traffic is backed up past K. Westbound 40 between Boone Bridge and 94. Look for all roadways reopened after earlier closures to assist with the accident in the eastbound lanes. Northbound 270 to 55 and Big Bend slow due to an earlier accident around Doherty Ferry. Eastbound 70 at Memorial. Look for a disabled vehicle. Right lanes blocked. Northbound 270 is slow from 44 all the way to Marshall Road. Westbound 270 at Chain of Rocks and Old Halls Ferry looks good. Eastbound 70 from T.R. Hughes to Mid Rivers. Look for traffic building there and all the approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge and onto the King Bridge traffic. You can expect some delays as traffic bridge traffic is starting to stack up this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Accountemps. Specializing in matching highly skilled financial professionals with rewarding temporary assignments, visit them at Accountemps.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cooler, breezy showers and thunderstorms throughout today with a high around 60. This evening, breezy, colder, mostly cloudy with a low in the lower 40s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 60s. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 60 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 61, both under clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Killed tonight in Memphis.
will never say that progress is being made. You take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. Please don't forget that this show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. That's whiterosesociety.org. So if you've missed an hour, you can go find an hour at whiterosesociety.org. Also check out lizbrown.com. I was watching a special, and I just have to say this, that it is very, as much information as I bring, as many things as I discuss, many difficult stories and topics and issues that I bring to the air on a daily basis, it is difficult for me. It is painful to me. I can't watch a whole lot of it. When I look at the specials about what is being done to our planet, I look at the stories about what's happening to our polar ice caps, the numbers of animals that are facing extinction as a result of what's happening to our planet, that we are doing to our planet. The enthusiastic embracing of drilling in the Arctic as a solution to what our world is facing in terms of finding energy. It's hurtful. It's ugly. And it is indefensible. And it is made even more remarkable by an administration that will look you in the face and tell you that, one, there is no such thing as global warming, or two, it has no real impact, I guess, in all honesty. That's the conclusion. That's the conclusion that would be reached by a C student, former cheerleader, D student, former cheerleader. We need to talk about global warming. We need to talk about what some cities are doing to address global warming. And as painful as it is for me, and I know for others out here, to have to look at what's happening to our world, there are some things that we can do individually to address this issue of global warming. We need to talk about that. And to facilitate that conversation, I have the director of Global Warming and Energy Program for the Sierra Club. Joining us from Washington, D.C., Dave Hamilton. Dave, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Very well, thanks.
Very good. Is there such thing as global warming? Does it have an impact on us? Set the record straight, please.
Since basically in 1980, I had my first class in college, they said if we keep burning fossil fuels at the rate we're burning them, there will be a buildup of those gases that will trap heat inside the atmosphere that is normally released to the atmosphere. And that was 26 years ago. And it was not a, you know, it was biology, but it wasn't rocket science. In fact, even though we've known about this for that long, we've pretty much decided not to deal with it, not to put forward solutions or try to take another course. And now we've got a case where the ice caps in both the North Pole and the South Pole are melting more quickly than we had imagined. There are range changes for plants and animals because of rising temperatures.
Let's talk about some of the melting of the ice caps. Can you give us some specifics on that? How big of an issue is this?
Well, it's accelerated a lot of the projections of potential sea level rise. And there's a recent study that said that we're losing ice in the Antarctic to the tune of about, let me make sure I get this stat right, but I think it's something on the order of more than 20 cubic miles a year.
That's breathtaking, isn't it?
No, it's got to be square miles. Anyway, it is much, much greater, much more dramatic than people thought it would be, that scientists thought it would be at this stage. And, you know, in fact, I think a lot of scientists are now reeling at what we're seeing as fast as we're seeing it. So, you know, 5 years ago, we'd say, you know, people just can't see global warming on their TVs, so they don't think it's real. Now you can, you know, you can watch more intense hurricanes. You can look at pictures of thousands of acres of timber in Canada being eaten by beetles that are, you know, are a new predator that's been introduced simply because their range has changed. You can look at polar bears drowning and, you know, things like that that are really an indication, you know, and just to be fair, the study that our government and the government of a number of other nations engaged in to assess global warming in the Arctic really showed that global warming is hitting the poles first and really affecting that region of the world. But there are a lot of things about the Arctic, like the fact that the permafrost is supposed to stay frozen. Otherwise, it's just going to become a sea of mud.
Hence the name perma.
Exactly. If, you know, the ice caps themselves are a great reflector of heat back into space.
What does
if
that
they
mean?
Melt and the area of the ice caps is reduced, then more of that heat is going to be absorbed by the oceans. So, you know, there are a lot of feedback. You know, our planet had attained a pretty good balance to make life on Earth a pretty comfortable thing. You know, as we see with
Everything is connected, right, Dave? I mean,
well, you know, the patriarch of the Sierra Club is John Muir, and you know, his quote was, "Once you try to pull on anything in the universe, you find out that it's connected to everything else." And you know, there are these feedback mechanisms that, you know, we're in balance, and we are by our burning of fossil fuels and emitting global warming gases are throwing some of these systems out of balance. And we have to figure out, A, how to make changes in our civilization and society that minimize those changes, and we got to figure out what to do about the changes that are happening.
I remember back in the 70s when I was a little girl, my father insisted that we stop using aerosols. out of concern for the environment.
Well, that was one example of how nations came together. They saw a problem. It was because chlorofluorocarbons and aerosols were rising to the top of the atmosphere and munching the ozone layer. And so we were having progressively larger holes in the ozone layer, and ozone protects us from a lot of the harmful effects of the sun. And so, you know, the major industrialized nations got together. They said, how do we change this? How do we, you know, reduce the use of those CFCs, which are chlorofluorocarbons? And, you know, in something called the Montreal Protocol, they made an agreement to stop and took fundamental steps to change. And it really is kind of a success story that we can look at.
But have you,
international cooperation and you know, an ability to make change.
Do we have something similar that we can point to in the year 2000 and on? Are we making those same types of decisions and understanding the impact?
Well, you mentioned the year 2000, and that was a campaign year in which candidate George Bush said he would, you know, really address global warming. And then it was not 4 or 5 months after he got into office that he said, no, just kidding. I've been in Washington for 20 years now, and I have seen the legislative process up close, and I was part of that, you know, very tuned into the energy bill that passed last year. And, you know, fundamentally, the energy industry has picked up a whole chunk of both the 2000 and the 2004 campaign costs for Bush and the Republicans. I never want to include all Republicans in, you know, some kind of generalization. But, you know, basically the oil industry and the coal industry and the utility industry went back after the election and said, about this global warming thing, this isn't going to work for us. And so the president reversed his position, and since then we have had...
what is his position?
He pulled us out of the Kyoto process, which had been, you know, really moved forward by the Clinton administration. And they've said, well, we're going to have a voluntary program that so far has accounted for no discernible emissions reductions.
So where does that leave us in terms of our ability as a nation to weigh in on the issue of global warming? We're not at the table.
Well, we, you know, in many environmental issues, in many, you know, including the Montreal Protocol that you just talked about, you know, the United States was a leader. We had the technology. We had the scientific background and scientific infrastructure. We had technological infrastructure that enabled us to be a leader in the world. Now we are, you know, basically an outlaw in the world because we are the biggest emitter of green global warming gases, and we've decided that we just don't care about what happens to the rest of the world. And so a lot of the countries in Europe are and other countries that are actually putting down cold cash to start to reduce emissions are incredibly perplexed with the United States because we're the worst offender. And not only that, but they're used to having us lead on issues like this. And instead, we're the bad guys. So, you know, I don't know what to say about the administration. I think that as a nation, we have a fundamental problem, which is our Congress and our government are influenced more by the needs of energy companies than by the needs of communities and families.
And this is historic.
Well, you know,
the influence.
Democrats are guilty of this too, and a lot of it goes by region. You know, if you're a Democratic member of Congress from the oil patch, you're going to look out for the oil industry. If you're from the coal region, you're pretty hard put to really do things that are against the interests of the coal companies.
So
a lot of it is about the way our campaign finance system is structured. A lot of it is about, you know, lobbying and things like that we're now fervently hoping for some kind of remedy to, but I'm not really expecting it.
So, all right, so that's on a national level. There is something that the Sierra Club has come up with that is something that people can do on a local level. Cool cities. Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, a lot of the survey research on global warming finds that people think that it is a huge, you know, it's too big a problem to get their mind around.
Let alone do something about
whether China builds new coal plants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what we found is that, you know, if you bring it down to the local level for people and they say, well, I can't affect Congress, I can't affect geopolitics, I can't affect, you know, a lot of things in the rest of the world, but I can go talk to my mayor. I helped put him in office, or maybe I didn't, but, you know, I can get together with religious leaders and labor leaders and the garden club and hunters and anglers, and we can go to our mayor and say, all right, I don't know what to do on the national level. What can we do on the local level? And so in that vein, we developed the Cool Cities Program, which is really a process to try to engage mayors and engage local government to figure out how they can reduce emissions. We were inspired by Seattle Mayor Greg Nickels, who began early in, I guess it was early in 2005 or late in 2004, started a pledge for mayors to say, okay, forget the federal government. We are going to make a pledge to reach targets somewhat equivalent to the Kyoto Treaty in that kind of time frame. And so,
and what they did in Seattle really is quite remarkable.
Yeah, they have fundamentally instituted programs regarding buildings and switching over government vehicles, a variety of things that are, you know, Seattle is now a no net greenhouse gas emission city, or at least they're on a track to do that.
And then they also reduced their global warming pollution by 60%?
That's right. You know, a lot of these programs are unfolding now, but they're, you know, that is their plan. And you know, a lot of the ability to do this is to have a plan that can work. And what the Sierra Club sees its role as in Cool Cities, I mean, we saw these mayors sign this pledge, and we figured, you know, 85% of them didn't have the first idea what it would really take to achieve Kyoto targets. So,
but the fact that they signed it was an act of faith and a demonstration that at least that there was concern out there about it.
Exactly, and it was a great thing, and it has provided a really positive vehicle for us to go in and say, okay, you know, thank you so much for signing the pledge. Here's the menu of options for our city. Which ones do you want to do?
Mm.
And so we're trying to really turn it into hard reductions instead of just a statement of good intention.
And some of the things, because I want to keep going back to Seattle, because it just really seems like they've done such an amazing job on this issue. What were some of the choices that Seattle made to make their city, to result in their city reducing global warming pollution by 60%?
Well, for you know, any building that was going to be built that would get city money, and they've done this on a state level too, it is required to meet a certain standard for energy and environmental performance.
Mm.
They have, you know, replaced all of their vehicles with hybrids.
Mm. All of their city vehicles with hybrid vehicles?
Yep.
Wow.
So at least, you know, where they can get them, if you need a heavy-duty truck or something, they couldn't replace that because they couldn't get it. But, you know, it's really looking at all the functions of city government and saying, you know, how do we use the best equipment? How do we have the best process? And how do we do the things that are smart and save, you know, our city money?
Did we see when Seattle started to do this, was there resistance from the energy giants out here, the electrical folks, the gas folks, the oil folks? Did they have to face that kind of a challenge?
I think in Seattle it was an easier place to do it with some. Their electric utility is city-owned.
Mm-hmm.
So they had that leverage too, and it has been a pioneer on energy efficiency programs for 20 years. It also, you know, in the Northwest, you have a situation where a great deal of their electricity comes from hydroelectric facilities.
From water.
Right, from rivers and dams that the rest of the country doesn't have, and they have traditionally had very cheap electricity.
As a result of that.
As a result of that. So, and I think generally in Washington, as opposed to Missouri or Ohio, or, you know, the utilities are and the coal companies and the energy companies are less in the driver's seat there.
We're going to take a break. I'm talking to Dave Hamilton. He's the director of Global Warming and Energy Program for the Sierra Club. He's joining us from Washington, D.C. We're talking about cool cities, what your city can do to save energy, re-energize your city, cleaner vehicles, energy efficiency, all of that. Cool cities, solving global warming one city at a time. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back after this. Stay with me.
The St. Louis County Parks Department is sponsoring a breakfast bike ride on Sunday at Creve Coeur County Park. The program begins at 9 a.m. from the Sailboat Cove and concludes at 1. The fee is $15 per person and advance registration is required. After the 10-mile ride, you'll enjoy an all-you-can-eat breakfast brunch at the Winery of the Little Hills. For more info, call 636-391-3474. News to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Tired of talking to the wall, the TV, the puppy?
Here, Fido.
314-454-0400. 1-877-920-WGNU. Give us a call. We'll listen.
Hi, I'm Randy Grimm. Join me Fridays at 12 noon for Animal Tales on AM 920 WGNU. It's an hour of fur, friends, and fun as we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your companion animals. Animal Tales every Friday at 12 noon on AM 920 WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Eastbound 70 at Memorial, there's a disabled bus blocking the right lane. Westbound 5570 and 111, animals on the roadway reportedly to be dogs in the traffic lanes. Eastbound 40 at Van Venter, look for a right lane closed due to construction. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Chain of Rocks all the way into Washington, Elizabeth, look for delays there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 is heavy from 55 to 44. Eastbound 40 at the last Missouri exit, look for the exit to be closed due to maintenance operations. Northbound 55 from Butler Hill to Union, look for heavy volume going on there. And all the approaches into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays this morning. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games, Monopoly, Poker, Lucky Dough, and Bingo, all from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cooler showers and thunderstorms throughout the day with a high around 60 for today. Colder, breezy, mostly cloudy with a low in the lower 40s tonight. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 60s. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 62 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 65. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the top of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Need cash today? Visit mouthcash.com without delay.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Hi, this is Herb Steck. I'm the host of The West Wing, right here on WGNU Radio. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., covering politics here in St. Louis, across the state, in the Capitol in Jeff City, and on the national level. Call in with your questions, your comments. Drop us an email, WGNU at hotmail.com, We'll be happy to talk about any political subject you want to talk about on Wednesday nights, right here on The West Wing with Herb Stuck.
How do you become a hero at work? It's easy. Just drop your business card at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, 9449 Olive Boulevard. Your friends at AM 920 will draw a new winner every week beginning Friday, March 10th, and deliver a basket of goodies on Monday to the winning workplace. Contest ends May 29th, 2006. No purchase necessary. Employees of WGNE Radio and contributing sponsors not eligible. One prize per employer, please. The WGNE Workplace Hero from the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store, Thomas Brand Coffee, and AM 920 WGNU.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Don't forget, MelsCash.com.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
You don't know how you met me, you don't know why you can't turn around and say goodbye. All you know is when I'm with you, I make you free and swim through your veins like a fish in the sea. I'm singing, follow me, everything is alright. I'll be the one to tuck you in at night. And if you want to leave, I can guarantee you won't find nobody else.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking this morning to the Director of Global Warming and Energy Program for the Sierra Club out of Washington, D.C. I'm talking to Dave Hamilton, and we're talking about solving global warming one city at a time, the Cool Cities Program. Dave, welcome back.
Thanks.
We were talking about, one of the things that we were talking about was how Seattle is a cool city model, but there are other cities that have joined in on this. Give us some of the other cities and some of the things that they have done to make their city a cool city.
Well, there's a lot of creativity out there. There's a lot of things going on. There are over 200 mayors who've now signed the mayor's pledge. But, you know, all of those things kind of really revolve around, you know, the ways that you reduce energy, the ways that you reduce fossil fuels, and it's transportation, it's buildings and industry. You've got, energy efficiency programs that are working with small businesses to get into their capital upgrade stream and help make their investments in the future be energy efficient ones so they save money over the long term and their customers save money over the long term. And, you know, the greatest untapped energy source that we have is waste. We are the Saudi Arabia of energy waste.
Mm.
And the quicker that we start thinking about that waste as an energy source just like coal, an energy source just like natural gas or oil, the quicker we're going to find out that it's cheaper to get, quicker to access, and less polluting.
Give us an example.
When we focus on that, and what a lot of the cool cities are doing, is really looking at their energy waste and figuring out how to cut that. Because when you're not paying the energy companies, when you're more efficient and you're not paying the energy companies, you got more money in your community, you've got more money in your family. You're taking money from an unproductive use, like keeping the lights on or the engine running, to a productive use, like your kid's college fund or investment in innovation and things that make money. So, the energy companies kind of don't want you to know that because that would mean that they'd make less money. So it's really a matter of kind of, you know, liberating ourselves from, you know, the Exxons of the world and the you know, Peabody's of the world and you know, keeping that money at home.
Well, give us the steps that it takes for a city to become a cool city.
Basically, it is signing the mayor's agreement and then instituting a plan for, you know, adhering to the pledge, which is meeting Kyoto targets. And then, you know, really putting those things into practice.
And
so,
don't we,
or at least having a process to put them into practice.
And don't we also really, before we do any kind of plan, don't we have to kind of like take stock of what we have? Don't we have to like take stock of what kind of emissions inventory that we have?
Exactly. And emissions inventory is a key part of doing that plan. You've got to figure out how much you emit, where it comes from, and what you're doing now if you're going to be able to improve that.
So we talked a little bit about a city like Seattle, and Seattle is a unique city. It sits in the Pacific Northwest. It has water. It deals with energy differently than, say, a Gary, Indiana. I see that Gary, Indiana has signed on to become a cool city. What do cities that are landlocked, what are cities that are hooked on coal or hooked on oil, what are some of the things that you're seeing in those types of cities of the way that they are adhering to becoming a cool city?
You know, again, it's how do you use energy? And in each of those ways that you use energy, what are ways to reduce that? How do you install more efficient technology, both in your companies, in your industries, your city heating and cooling, your building envelope, your building systems, your transportation systems? How do you make that difference? How do you make changes? How do you upgrade to newer, more efficient technology and make that, the way you do business?
I love the idea of these green vehicle solutions, that people are even using buses in this way.
Yeah. I mean, there are, fuel cell buses now. There are natural gas buses, which emit less than regular gasoline diesel buses. And, there are any number of ways to make these reductions. So,
you know, I would love to see, and tell me if there are any cities out here that are doing that. The route that I travel when I get up early in the morning and come into my show, I often find myself behind school buses on their way to taking kids to school, and I am astounded every morning that I'm behind one of those school buses with all of the black, nasty smoke that's coming out of those buses, and I'm thinking that this is what the kids have to breathe and the impact of that. Do we see any cities that are using school buses and making them green vehicles?
Yeah, you know, one of the, not only school buses, but schools, is it usually a huge part of the city's budget. And, there are cities that are targeting school buses. There are cities that are targeting schools, too, because we found that making good energy changes in schools, like increasing daylighting, having solar, and passive solar lighting, cuts down on the need for electric lighting load. Not only that, but studies have found out that more natural light in the classroom leads to better test scores and fewer days absent.
Mm.
So, in this kind of case, there are, not only does it make you money, not only does it reduce your greenhouse gas emissions, but it improves your children's education. So, these are, people talk about a win-win situation. This is like win-win-win-win-win. So
where can people find out? Where can people sign up? Where can people get their cities, and where do they go to get their cities involved in the Cool City program?
Come to the Cool Cities website at www.sierraclub. This is now www.coolcities.us.
Okay.
So you can get there that way or through the Sierra Club website. And it's www.sierraclub.org, and Sierra Club's one word. But we are, I would contact the, there's Sierra Club chapters in 50 states and in most big cities. And I would contact your Sierra Club representative there and say, how do I help? How do I get involved? And, you know, talk to your church leader. Talk to your, you know, club, the leaders of clubs you're in. Talk to your local city council person and say, you know, we need to do this. You know, we don't know how to change the world, but we do know how to change our community. So let's, you know, let's move forward and do our part. Global warming is a huge challenge to, you know, a lot of people want to talk about how this was some, you know, plot by some, you know, by whatever political party you don't like to ruin the world. But in fact, you know, this has been gradually happening for a long time, and we didn't know when we started driving cars, and we didn't know when we started using coal-fired power that this was going to have major consequences.
But we know now.
But we know now, and it's time to act. And the question is, it is a huge challenge to humanity. It's a huge challenge to our nation to pull together, to use American ingenuity. You know, Alexis de Tocqueville traveled through the U.S. or through America in the 19th century and talked about, you know, the indefatigable nature of Americans to solve problems, the unquenchable enthusiasm of Americans for, you know, dealing with adversity. And we have all those things inside us, and I really believe in this country, and I really believe that we can pull together with knowledge, with science, with technology and faith and the things that we have going for us and turn this around.
And that has to be our final word. Dave Hamilton, Director of Global Warming and Energy Program for the Sierra Club, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you for having me, John.
My pleasure. This is Liz Brown. I will be back after this. Stay with me.
Need cash today? Visit MalesCash.com without delay.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660 and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
Don't forget, MelesCash.com.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Sacramento. A member of the California legislature has introduced a measure that would put a 2% surtax on oil company revenues of over $10 million every year. That would bring in $120 million for the state for the next fiscal year, and much more than that in the years to come. Representative Johan Kless says the money generated would help low- and middle-income senior citizens pay for the cost of their prescription drugs. Kless says if the oil companies don't want to pay the additional tax, all they have to do is stop ripping off the consumer. Business groups say the law would hurt California businesses by putting a punitive tax on them. And Dateline Washington. It appears Congress is going to give control of the broadband internet to the big players in the telecommunications industry. Last year, the Federal Communications Commission issued a ruling saying that high-speed internet service offered by cable and phone companies was a new technology that was not bound by previous regulatory rules. Cable and phone companies own nearly all of the high-speed networks that are used by the public. The companies have already made it plain that they plan to create premium super service on the internet, but it'll cost you much more money. Meaning, if you can't afford it, you get second-best service. Before broadband, all customers could use the same internet service and have access to everything on the World Wide Web. This development comes at a time when the so-called digital divide was starting to close. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Need cash today? Visit MelesCash.com without delay.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Are you a woman undergoing treatment for cancer? Or do you know someone who is? The Scientific Arts Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is supporting research evaluating the effects of a relaxation CD on stress in cancer patients undergoing treatment. If you are a female undergoing chemotherapy or radiation treatment for cancer and are willing to join in this important and relaxing study for 10 to 20 days, contact Dr. William Collins at 314-569-1290. That's 314-569-1290. To learn more about the Scientific Arts Foundation, visit their website at www.scientificartsfoundation.org.
Hi, I'm Laurie Fulkerson. Join me every Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. You'll hear stories of people who are just like you that are overcoming obstacles and making the difference in lives of others. And you're invited to share your thoughts. You know, people are what matter most to me, and I enjoy talking with you and helping you reach your highest goals. Join me for the Laurie Fulkerson Show Wednesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss what matters most to you.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I don't know what's for work in 50 years from 9 to 5. Oh, while the boss is guzzling champagne and I'm building beer in some dive. But I want to be happy and free, living and loving for me. I want to be happy and free, living and loving for me like a natural man.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about arsenic in your chicken. Colonel Sanders probably hadn't told you, hasn't given you the memo on that yet. We're going to be talking about that in the next hour. Arsenic in your chicken. So you don't want to miss that discussion in the next hour. Again, if you want to catch me, email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. Get up, get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
You know, on that global warming conversation. You know, scientists in other parts of the world have said that much of global warming, well, should I say the climatic changes that's producing droughts and so forth, they have attributed to the industrial pollution that's being emitted into the air in the United States and also, you know, Western Europe.
Oh, yeah, that's what he said. That's what the guest said. Talked about that we create most of the pollution.
Well, what I want to know, what are these other countries invited to come in and sit down and give their concerns and also a solution? And is there going to be a mechanism for common sense? Because, you know, you're talking about droughts, you're talking about loss of crops, then you're talking about famine and loss of lives. I was, you know, if it's going to be done fairly, I can't see you're just going to have the U.S. Leading these this big hee-hoe.
Well, the U.S.
leave everyone else out.
Well, first of all, with regard to the United States and the issue of global warming, the United States is not leading anything. The United States, in fact, is pulled out on any kind of leadership role and is denying the impact of global warming and the solutions that have been offered up. So they're not leading anything.
Because the Sierra Club, hopefully, will combine themselves with some of the efforts that's going on in other nations around the world.
Gotcha.
Thank you very much.
All right. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Speaking of global warming, there, we are being told that every day and into the night, Army Corps of Engineer folks are pouring concrete into walls. They're packing dirt into hills. They're ramming steel into the earth. What are they doing? They're trying to undo the damage Hurricane Katrina inflicted upon the that region's levee system, huh? Hurricane season begins June 1st. Let me say that again. Hurricane season begins June 1st. And I'm going to pose a question to you. Given global warming, given the fact that the storms are getting worse and worse and worse each year, what are we to expect in terms of the impact of these storms? Do you think this hurricane season is going to be better or worse than last year? Hurricane season begins June 1st. Julie Quinn, a state representative whose district includes the 17th Street Canal, she's saying that divine intervention is the way that this is going to be stopped. Divine intervention. Now, I certainly believe in divine intervention. I certainly do. As a political strategy, as your sole political strategy, given the things that men and man and woman can do, I find it more than a little problematic. The levees aren't fixed yet. 8 months afterwards, the levees aren't fixed. Corps officials are confident by June 1st that they will repair all the breaches and other damage. Bunk. Bunk, bunk, bunk. And then they add, and by 2010, the Corps would have made the system stronger and better than it has ever been. Huh. Know this. Maybe things will be fine in 2010, but in 2006, the Corps of Engineers will not be able to upgrade the 181 miles of levees that remained intact during Katrina. Understand that the only thing that they're working on is the damage that was left behind after Katrina. Huh? Huh? We have global warming. We have the expectation that the season will be worse than it was before. And hurricane season starts June 1st. June 1st. And by the way, they're only working on the repair. They're not working on upgrading a levee system that went through a Category 4. Category 5 storm. We're in a world of trouble. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. My toll-free long distance is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. I'm Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Tonight. I'm Daria Albinger. Well, maybe there is something he can do about the pumped-up price of gas. President Bush outlines a plan this morning, which includes an investigation into what is driving the increase.
Frankly, Americans are skeptical that there is anything the White House can do to force prices down at the pump. Conservation is not enough, and President Bush is expected to tell the public today they face a summer of rising prices.
ABC's Ann Compton at the White House. Egyptian demonstrators snake through the wreckage in the resort town of Dahab, chanting, "We love you," and never more after yesterday's deadly bombings, and officials say they agree.
Egypt's prime minister stopped here at this battered resort town to provide some hope. He promised to find the bombing's culprits. Police arrested three people, but did not say whether they were local or attached to a foreign terrorist group. Egypt has promised to find those responsible for previous bombings, which killed 100 foreigners and Egyptians. Then, like now, the bomber sought a place crammed with foreigners, full of bars, hotels, and restaurants.
ABC's Matt Gutman in Dahab. It could be a long day for the jury in the trial of Zacharias Moussaoui. More from ABC's Pam Coulter in Alexandria, Virginia.
Prosecutors underscored the importance of this case by telling jurors when they were selected, they became the voice of the nation responding to the September 11th attacks. Moussaoui is the only person tried in the U.S. in connection with the attacks, but Assistant U.S. Attorney David Novak promised other al-Qaeda operatives in custody will get their day in court.
Moussaoui could get life in prison or the death penalty. A 16-year-old student accused of plotting to shoot people at a high school in Washington State and then kill himself is now under arrest, charged with first-degree assault. Court documents say the boy intended to go out in what he referred to as a blaze of hatred and fury. This is ABC News.
Young man, you don't have to feel down. I say, woman, call Applebee's in your town. Take your seat and you can wear your nightgown. There's no need to be so hungry. Car size to go. If so is Applebee's, car size to go. When I leave in your car, you can think of your meal. Great food fast and let your tires squeal.
And participating locations.
I'm Ben, and this is Psychic Connection, your source for spirits and paranormal. The caller is Meredith.
Ben, what's the easiest way to get around a city I've never been to?
The answer is kind of murky.
For the easiest route to any address in America, you want to ask TomTom, not Ben.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily moved from car to car. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
Chris Rock is the latest celebrity who sought the help of Private Eye Anthony Pelicano. A representative for the comedian says the detective is looking into a paternity case involving a Hungarian model. Pelicano is known for his relentless, intimidating tactics. Imagine contacting John Lennon from the afterworld. ABC's Gil Gross says it's apparently happened at a seance.
A spokesman for Lennon's widow, Yoko Ono, called the whole thing tacky and exploitative, which did not stop a pay-per-view TV special from doing a seance to contact the late Beatle. They claimed that they did it, hearing a spirit voice say, "Peace, the message is peace." A so-called electronic voice phenomenon expert said, "Yes, that was John." Of course, you can imagine there was no one talking in heaven. It's easy if you try. Gil Gross, ABC News.
It may not be much longer before you can stand on a commercial airline flight the whole trip. The New York Times says some Asian airlines are looking into the idea. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a Maryland Heights man is accused of killing his own brother in an argument. 40-year-old Jeffrey Layton is charged with second-degree murder and the death of his 44-year-old brother, Brian. Police say Jeffrey Layton fatally stabbed his brother on Sunday night at their home in the 1600 block of Schulte. Governor Matt Blunt is praising local, state, and federal agencies for their parts in the rebuilding of storm-ravaged Pemiscot County. The governor toured the city of Caruthersville, which took heavy damage from an F3 tornado earlier this month. Blunt spokesperson Jessica Robinson says the governor was impressed with what he saw.
Impressed with how quickly and how hard everyone is working to help these communities recover. And they're a long way from being back to where they were before the disaster, but they are moving forward.
While Blunt was in town yesterday, FEMA delivered 19 trailers to Pemiscot County for temporary housing. The area is expected to receive about 300 FEMA trailers in all. Finally, this hour, the public is getting its first real look at a plan to expand the Fred Weber landfill in St. Louis County. The Missouri Department of Natural Resources last night hosted a public awareness session to explain the process. Jim Bell, a spokesperson for the department, says this is just the first step in a long process and there will be future meetings. He says there has been no real opposition to the plan, but that will likely change as more people become aware of the proposal. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Midas. What's the most important safety feature of your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas Touch. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Account Temps. Eastbound 40 between 94 and the Boone Bridge. All roadways are reopened after an earlier accident at the Research Park exit. Traffic is still backed up past Winghaven. Eastbound 70 at Memorial Drive. Look for an incident cleared after an earlier stalled school bus was blocking the right lane. Westbound 5570 at 111 over on the Illinois side. Easing after earlier stray dogs were in traffic lanes. Eastbound 44 from Shrewsbury to River de Pere. Look for a disabled vehicle. Right lane is blocked this hour. Northbound 270 at Manchester. An animal struck. Reported to be another deer that was trying to cross a interstate. Traffic is slow back to Doherty Ferry at this hour. Eastbound 44 from 141 to Merrimack River Bridge. Look for slow there. Westbound 270 at Bell Fountain and New Halls Ferry. Look for slight delays. And eastbound 70 from Bryan Road to 79. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 at 55 and 44. It is slow. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom all the way to Green Park. Heavy volume in pockets. And then all the approaches onto the Poplar Street Bridge and or the Martin Luther King Bridge, you can expect some delays in your 8 o'clock commute. Laclede Station at Gravois is reportedly slow after a person was struck in traffic, so use caution if you happen to be rolling up into that area. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Account Temps, the industry leader in access to over 1 million highly skilled financial professionals. Call or visit them today at accounttemps.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to cooler showers and thunderstorms throughout the day with a high around 60. This evening, colder, breezy, mostly cloudy with a low in the lower 40s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 60s. And Thursday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 64 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 65, both under cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Yeah.
the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a 1999 engine and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below, that's a low knee.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU, and my email is revolution@lizbrown.com. Please do not forget that the Wake Up Call, I am archived at whiterosesociety.org. Also, the show is iPodded at whiterosesociety.org. You need to get up. You need to get to me. And one of the things that I am pleased about that we do here on the Wake Up Call is bring you stories and guests and programs that connect who you are and how you live to what you eat, what you ingest, where you get it from, how you cook it, all of those things. There is a connection between how you are feeling and what you are putting in. And sometimes it's not simply the salt, the excess salt that you put in your food. It's stuff that you don't have, you didn't choose to put into your food that has an impact upon how you feel and what happens to your body. I'm looking at this study. It's kind of a creepy kind of a study for people that still eat meat. I think this goes back to my philosophy, you shouldn't be eating this, shouldn't be eating meat. But those of us that continue to eat meat need to pay attention to this study. It's scary and kind of creepy to find out what is in some of the things that we love to eat. I'm talking specifically about arsenic in chicken. How much arsenic? What kind of chicken? Whose chicken? Why should we be concerned? All of those issues we need to talk about. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining us from St. Paul, Minnesota, David Walinga. He's from the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy. David, good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Good. You eat chicken?
I do.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Was this kind of a creepy, scary little study that came out then?
Well, I think what my study showed is that it matters where you buy your chicken and how the chicken's raised.
Let's talk about arsenic. You don't even make the connection that arsenic would be in your food, but arsenic is in our food. How does it get in chicken?
Well, what my study seems to show is that most of the arsenic in chickens probably there because it's put into the chicken feed intentionally.
Why would arsenic be put into food that the chickens eat?
Well, we put a lot of crazy things into animal feed. Many of them are to make the animals grow faster, and that's the case for arsenic as well as antibiotics. Arsenic's also...
Arsenic makes the chickens grow faster?
Well, yeah, it has an effect against parasites or microbes, and that seems to make the animals grow faster on less feed. It's called a growth promoter.
Mm.
It's also used to pigment the meat, and then it's used to...
Pigment the meat, color the meat?
Exactly.
Color the meat to tell us something that's not true about the meat?
Well, that... Possibly, I suppose. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what the rationale is, but when you read the label on the arsenic product, that's one of the intended uses. And then the third thing is that it's used to prevent parasite infections that tend to occur in these huge flocks of chickens that are raised in indoors and barns.
So by the chickens ingesting, putting arsenic in their system, it thwarts parasites.
Yeah, that's one of the things it does.
Do all chickens have arsenic in them?
No, in fact, this is kind of a good news, bad news story. When we went out and tested a large number of samples of chicken from supermarkets that we bought, we found 55% of them had arsenic that we could detect. That means almost half didn't have arsenic.
One of the things that you mentioned in your study is that you aren't saying that this is definitive, that you are concerned that you didn't necessarily use large enough samples.
Well, you know, we're a fairly smallish nonprofit in the Twin Cities, so we don't think that it's really our job to do all the comprehensive food testing for the United States. But what we did was more than the Food and Drug Administration has ever done. We went out and tested some of the chicken that people are most likely to eat.
Wait a minute, David. The FDA, the federal, the FDA.
The Food and Drug Administration.
Food and Drug Administration. They have never tested for arsenic in the chicken meat that people eat?
That's right. They've only tested in chicken livers.
And... arsenic is not really found in chicken livers, is it?
Well, it is, because the liver is a detoxifying organ. So one would expect that if there were arsenic, that it would tend to concentrate more in liver. But when the FDA is tested, even in liver, they only tell people if the how many of their samples have violated federal standards. They don't actually report on what the levels of arsenic are in the chicken tissue that they sample.
So even though they test, they don't tell us how much they find?
No, they just tell you whether or not there's more than 2,000 parts per billion.
Let's talk about arsenic from the perspective of it impacting on us. Okay, so what? A chicken eats arsenic. So what? A chicken is fed arsenic. So what? You find arsenic in the chicken meat that we eat. What is that? What kind of impact does that have on me and my body?
Well, there's a couple of things that concern me about this routine use of arsenic in chicken feed. First of all, arsenic's one of the very few things that we know for a fact causes cancer in people, and it causes a whole slew of different kinds of cancers. And so in other venues, like drinking water, arsenic's regulated quite carefully. The other thing is that the more we look and the more we study, the more different ways we find that arsenic's a poison. So some of the more recent studies are finding that arsenic, even at pretty low levels to which people are exposed, can disrupt hormones. So it's a hormone disruptor as well as being a cancer-causing agent. And then finally, there's different kinds of arsenic. So for example, the kind that you'd find in drinking water in a lot of cases is an inorganic form, and it's a little bit different than the kind that's put in chicken feed, which is an organic form. And I don't want to get too technical, but basically the more scientists are looking at these kinds of arsenic, these organic forms, the more concern we're finding about them.
So are you saying, David, that that our body does something different and with an organic type form of arsenic than it does with a non-organic form of arsenic?
Well, actually, that used to be the thinking, but more and more we're finding that arsenic is arsenic and none of it's really that good.
And arsenic is a poison, right?
Exactly.
I mean, they use arsenic, people have used arsenic to kill other people.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a play, isn't there? Arsenic and old lace?
Yeah, for really thousands of years, we've known that arsenic's a poison and it's not a good thing. And yet, you know, in our infinite wisdom, we've done a lot of crazy things with it in the last 60 or 70 years. We used it as a pesticide. We put it on playground equipment. And we're still putting it in chicken feed.
Now, if arsenic, organic or non-organic, arsenic is not good for you or me as grown-ups, what kind of studies have been done on the arsenic impact on children? And do we know, should we be even more concerned about children ingesting it, and children and pregnant women ingesting arsenic?
Well, I think that's really a good point, and yes, I do think we ought to be relatively more concerned about children being exposed. Children have obviously bodies that are still developing, but their organs are still developing too. So there have been studies finding, for example, that children exposed to arsenic can have disrupted brain development, lower intellectual function. And again, if it disrupts hormones, like some of the studies are showing, hormones work to guide the development in children. So if you throw that development or that hormone function off course, it would have a greater effect on children than it might in you or I.
Well, what about pregnant women? Talk about developing.
Well, you know, the development starts in the womb, and that's oftentimes the period when the greatest development's occurring. So, yeah, pregnant women, too.
Now, I realize that your study dealt solely with chicken, but can you tell us whether or not we should, even though you haven't done a study on this, should we be concerned about arsenic in our fish as well?
Well, we're exposed to arsenic in a whole slew of ways, from drinking water to playground equipment to eating rice or fish and also chicken. So my point is, hey, we know eating arsenic in general is a bad thing. So let's look for ways to avoid eating arsenic. So if we can do that through chicken, that's great. If we can do it by finding drinking water from a source that doesn't have arsenic or less arsenic, that's good too.
And when you talked about arsenic being in playground equipment, we're talking about the wood treated and wood structures. It's not just playground equipment. It's our decks as well, right?
Yeah, you know, this was a practice that was very common. Thankfully, the use of arsenic-treated wood, it was called CCA-treated wood, has now been phased out. But even in 2004, the estimates were that 90% of our decks and playground equipment and other wood structures had this arsenic-treated compound. So a lot of school districts now are starting to get rid of it.
All right. So let's talk about the process that you use for your study to test the chicken. How did you decide what chicken that you were going to test and what chicken did you test?
Well, you know, we kind of thought like shoppers in two different states, Minnesota and California. So we went out and tried to identify what the common brands were in supermarkets in the Twin Cities and in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we wanted to get a mix of different of chicken from producers that use different kind of practices. So we tested both very conventional brands, including several of the top chicken producers in the country. And then we also got some of them, for lack of a better word, premium brands, either certified organic chicken brands or other premium brands.
And things like kosher chicken as well. Kosher chicken was included in the premium component.
Yeah, we didn't test a lot of kosher products, but we did find one kosher brand that we tested.
Okay. And how many chickens did your study include?
We tested 151 packages of supermarket chicken. And the other thing we did was to go out to fast food franchises or outlets that serve chicken nuggets and chicken sandwiches and fried chicken, and we tested 90 samples of that food as well.
And I thought it was very interesting in your study, because that may sound like a small number of birds, but when you compare it to what the USDA tests, it's really, they don't test a whole lot of birds.
No, the USDA in about every year tests about 1,200 out of the 9 billion birds that we produce.
That's a teeny, teeny, teeny amount, isn't it?
It sure seems like it, yeah. And again, they just test chicken livers.
So when you looked at the cooked chicken, you're talking about 90 orders of fried chicken.
90 orders of either fried chicken or chicken sandwiches. And we would do things like take the bun off, and we wouldn't get any condiments, so that we were just testing the chicken.
So we're talking about chicken strips, chicken nuggets, and all of that.
Exactly.
So what was the thing after you got these cooked chicken and raw chicken, before we get into the details of the study, what was the thing personally that surprised you the most, David?
I think the most surprising thing was that it really does matter the kind of chicken that you're buying. We found a lot of variation in how much arsenic was present in the different kind of brands that we tested. And we also found that the levels in conventional brands, the amount of time that we detected arsenic was much more prevalent in the conventional brands than in the premium brands.
You were surprised by that?
Well, I guess that it was so clear cut.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say surprised, but it was just very striking.
Because, I mean, I wouldn't expect that I would find any arsenic in an organically certified chicken.
And in general, we didn't find, or we found very, very little in the certified organic. And you're right that there shouldn't be arsenic added to the chicken feed in a certified organic product. It's possible that where we did find it, and again, that was pretty infrequent, that it might have come from some kind of contamination.
Mm.
So we don't know exactly what's going on there. But the levels, on average, were much, much higher in the conventional brands, with some exceptions. For example, Tyson Foods, which is the world's largest chicken producer, had very little or no arsenic in most of the products that we tested.
How come?
Well, Tyson said they stopped using arsenic 2 years ago.
Mm.
And one of our take-home's messages was, gee, if Tyson can do it, why can't everybody do without arsenic?
And David, didn't you find different levels of arsenic in the particular body part of the chicken?
A
thigh compared to a breast, the leg compared to a breast?
Yeah, in general, I would say the thighs tended to be a little bit higher, but again, we weren't testing a huge number, so I'd probably want to confirm that with larger sample sizes. But in general, yeah, we did find a little bit more in the thigh and the leg meat than in the breast meat.
What was the most troubling amount of arsenic that you found in the uncooked chicken that you tested? Did it pertain to the particular brand?
It seemed to, and there was some variation within the brands. But the most contaminated raw chicken brands that we tested had about 20 or even 40 times higher levels of arsenic than in the least contaminated brands. So that included, for example, a brand that's very prominent here in Minnesota called Golden Plump. It also included Perdue, which is the fourth largest producer in the country.
And how do the levels of arsenic that you found in the uncooked chicken compare to the arsenic standards that have been set by our government?
Well, all the levels that we found would be considered legal. Just to give you an idea, there's a something called a tolerance standard.
Could you hold that thought, please? Because
sure.
We need to take a break. We'll come back and talk about the tolerance standard when we come back and talk to David Wallinga. He's from the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, joining us from St. Paul, Minnesota. I'm talking about arsenic in your chicken. Stay with me.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers, and we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community.
This is Donna Gamash.
And this is Sabrina Underwood.
Join us for Women Inspiring Women every weekday afternoon at 1 o'clock on AM 920 WGNU. Every day, Sabrina and I will bring you amazing women who will motivate, inspire, educate, and entertain you.
Each Friday, we'll be joined by women authors who share their journey of getting in print. And through their success, they will inspire you to make your book happen.
So join me, Donna Gamash,
and me, Sabrina Underwood,
for Women Inspiring Women, every weekday from 1 to 2 p.m. on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
Need cash today? Visit mousecash.com without delay.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. Eastbound 40 between 94 and the Boone Bridge has returned back to normal. However, there's maybe some delays still on eastbound 40. Northbound 270 at Manchester, an incident has been cleared as a deer was struck earlier. Southbound 270 at St. Charles Rock Road in McKelvey has returned back to normal after an earlier accident. Westbound 40 between 270 and Mason, there's an accident on the right shoulder. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Merrimack River Bridge, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Boone Bridge all the way into Lima, expect no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road, you can expect congestion, as well as between Hampton and Hanley, look for heavy volume on westbound 40. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry, there's a disabled vehicle. Westbound 5570 at the Poplar Street Bridge and on the King Bridges, you can expect some delays still in your 830 commute. Route 109 at Clayton, there's a report of disabled vehicle blocking some traffic lanes, and State Highway P at Hoff Road, look for an accident that's in St. Charles County. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion. A woman's glow is beautiful, and now every woman can enhance her own glow with new Dove Energy Glow Body Lotion with skin brighteners. Visit Dove.com for your free sample while supplies last. Now, taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Cooler showers and thunderstorms likely throughout the day with a high around 60. This evening, colder, breezy, mostly cloudy, low in the lower 40s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 60s. And Thursday, Mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 64 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 66, both under clouds. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. That's a look at this hour's traffic and weather. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Don't forget, MELSCASH.com.
Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. Connect Care. Still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care. Next Friday for more What's New at the Movies with Mark Glass. And check out Mark's reviews online at WGNU.net. The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Around the world, behind the story.
It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call.
Wake-Up Call.
Liz Brown.
Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. This morning I am talking to David Wallinga. He's from the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, joining us from St. Paul, Minnesota. And we're talking about arsenic in our chicken. David, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
We were talking on our way out before the break about the amounts of arsenic that your study found in uncooked chicken and whether or not it reached the tolerance level that's routinely defined by federal standards.
Yeah, you know, the levels that we found were below what the FDA would consider safe, but I guess I would take home 2 points about that safe level. First of all, even though the U.S. has a safe level, the Europeans don't. The Europeans don't allow arsenic to be used in animal feed because their food safety officials couldn't find any level that they would consider to be safe for people to eat.
So none, period, dot. Cannot use arsenic in, you can't put arsenic in the food chain.
Exactly. And the point I would make about the U.S. safety standard is that it's 40 years old.
Mm.
I think it's really outdated now. It doesn't reflect 40 years worth of science about arsenic. And again, you know, we just keep finding more and more ways in which arsenic is poisonous. And just really getting a greater appreciation for how it can have effects even at very, very low levels.
I think you make an interesting point with it. While the standards are 40 years old, there hasn't been 40 years worth of testing by the government to justify using a 40-year-old standard.
Right. We haven't revisited that standard in 40 years, so it's really out of date and out of touch with the science.
So the thing that when I was looking at your study that kind of was puzzling to me, okay, you studied the raw chicken, but then you went and looked at McNuggets, and you looked at Popeye's thighs and Church's thighs and McDonald's breast strips, and I'm looking at your study, David, your study reflects that Church's thighs, you go to Church's, you get a bucket of Church's thighs, 46.5, how could that be? How could you have that kind of a level in a cooked chicken thigh that you didn't find in the raw thighs?
Yeah, well, you know, that's an interesting question, and I don't think we have all the answers. Again, what I take home from our testing of the fast food chicken is that there was a huge amount of variation. And, for example, the lowest levels that we found were from KFC chicken that was purchased in Minnesota. And when a reporter from another news service asked KFC, they confirmed that their supplier in Minnesota didn't use arsenic, but they couldn't make the same claim necessarily for the rest of the country.
Isn't that something? And
yeah.
And then the Church's thigh that you had was purchased in California.
It was, and it was roughly 20 times higher than the level in the KFC product. So even though there's some in the fast foods, there's a huge variation, and it really does seem to matter where the retail chains source their chicken from.
And, you know, and you got to ask the question of, it's like, does Church's really, like, look for, I mean, do they go to an arsenic chicken farm, you know, to get there? Because there's such a huge difference between the amount of arsenic in a Church's thigh than there is in a KFC thigh.
Yeah, you know, I think that probably just like most of the public, most of these retail chains just didn't know that this was an issue. And, you know, who can blame them, frankly, in the absence of any FDA testing to raise it as an issue? Who would know? So I think the main thing now is that everybody's becoming more aware of it, and there is actually something that we can do about it, both as consumers but also as food retailers.
Did you contact Church's or Popeye's or Jack in the Box or McDonald's or any of the places that you tested the cooked chicken products for arsenic? Did you contact any of them after your study and get a response from them?
No, I didn't. Okay. I kind of left that up to people like you.
Well, people, okay, I'm doing this. I'm doing the show right now. What have other people done when they talk to Church's? What do they say?
I don't know. I haven't seen any quotes from officials at Church's. I know that some of the chains have been contacted, but
well, what do you hope to get from the study that you've undertaken, David? What do you want to happen from this?
Well, I would hope that consumers realize that they can influence the amount of arsenic they ingest by just exercising a little more care in what kind of chicken they buy and how it's produced. And also that the chicken producers realize that there's different ways of producing chicken and that they can provide a better product to their customers. Obviously, if they're not using any arsenic in the feed in Europe and Tyson is using very little or no arsenic, then nobody really ought to be using it.
And Is there an arsenic lobbyist up there in Washington, D.C. that we have to be aware of?
Well, you know, the same companies that make the arsenic products are the same companies that make the antibiotics that are added to animal feed routinely for the same reasons. They're pharmaceutical companies, and this is one of their products.
So the way that a customer or a consumer can weigh in on this is they could contact these chicken manufacturers, these chicken producers. They could contact McDonald's. They could contact churches and tell them, I don't want this in my chicken.
I think that's a great idea. And at the same time, they can read my report and find out ways to identify other kinds of chicken that are produced in better ways.
And where can people get a copy of your report, David?
Well, you can go on the website at www.iatp.org.
Very good. David Wallinga from the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy, joining us from St. Paul, Minnesota. Thank you so much for joining me on the wake-up call.
Thank you, Liz. It was my pleasure.
Take care. Listen, folks, we're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. You need to get to me. I'll be back after this to take your calls and comments. Stay with me.
This is a message to all those who've been trying to reach the top of the hill on that ladder.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Recently in St. Louis, some changes were made in healthcare providers. And we at ConnectCare want you to know that sometimes change can be good. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. ConnectCare is now your specialty care clinic hub. If you or your loved one is dealing with kidney disease, you can contact one of ConnectCare's renal specialists at our renal clinic, dedicated to improving the quality of life and providing optimal care for patients with chronic and acute renal disease. At ConnectCare, we have 14 specialty care clinics to serve your healthcare needs. Our specialty care clinic hub includes specialty clinics dealing with arthritis, ENT, GI, orthopedics, and a women's specialty clinic. At ConnectCare, the physicians and staff at our specialty clinics are committed to the philosophy that the best care is provided by those with the greatest commitment to their community. ConnectCare, still connected to the community. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Mexico City. A strike at a steel mill in Mexico has resulted in two workers being shot to death by security forces. Last Thursday, state and federal troops launched an attack against the workers at the steel plant in Lázaro Cárdenas in the southwestern state of Michoacán in an attempt to end the work stoppage. Witnesses say the troops fired at random on the strikers and that after the first one fell dead, a trooper put his boot on the dead man's head and told the strikers, "Now come to his rescue." Shortly thereafter, a second man was shot to death. Two others were critically injured. The assault lasted about 5 hours and included helicopters, batons, and tear gas. A commando unit that is used mainly for terrorist and drug and gang operations was utilized for this confrontation. The governor of Michoacán State has ordered an investigation because he says he ordered his men not to be armed. Two other officials have since resigned. A company lawyer says the mill will proceed with criminal charges against the strikers for committing a terrorist act. The strike began 3 weeks ago to call for the reinstatement of the head of the union, who was ousted by the Labor Ministry following a coal mine explosion in February that killed 65 miners in Coahuila State. The root problems go back some 20 years, though, when the government privatized mines and steel mills and then gave them to private investors under shady circumstances. Tens of thousands of workers lost good-paying jobs, non-union workers were brought in at much lower salaries, and safety issues took a back burner for the sake of higher profits. The killing of the workers could be a major factor in deciding the upcoming presidential election that's set for July 2nd. Back in 1906, copper miners went on strike and set a chain of events in motion that led to the Mexican Revolution. This is your wake-up call global news update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
Take an amphibian night hike at the Mare Temps Coir Conservation Area in St. Charles on Saturday from 7 to 9:30. Witness a marsh concert by the Toads and Frogs of Missouri. Take a two-mile hike to listen for amphibian calls. Please dress for the weather and bring a small flashlight. Sign up by calling 636-441-4554. Froggy news to you from Radio Free St. Louis.
Do you ever wonder about that weird noise your car is making or about what's leaking under your car while you're parked? Do you worry about your car quitting on you while you're driving? And do you know what simple things you can do to keep your car running at its best or how to do them? I'm Cheryl Moody, inviting you to tune in for the answers to these questions and to discuss the car issues that matter most to you. Let's go Under the Hood on Tuesday mornings at 10 on AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. The number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. Arsenic in your chicken. Bon appetit. Bon appetit. There's so much stuff that goes on that people feel that or think that you can't, that you don't, are unable to weigh in on, but you can. You can. And not only can you, you should weigh in on these issues. You really need to check out the information about the arsenic levels in your chicken. arsenic levels in your food, and check out this this website. And you'd always go to my website to get the information at LizBrown.com. If you missed the address, get to my website at LizBrown.com. You're on the wake-up call. Christine? Good morning. You're on the wake-up call. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want a toll-free long-distance me, do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about... we're going to be talking to the folks at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We're going to be talking about digital copywriting, some of the steps that, that our government, while we are so used to, we've gotten into the habit of free access on the World Wide Web. There's all kinds of things that are going on that you may not be aware of that's happening in your digital world. I don't know how, I don't know what we did before Google. I don't know what we did before having the internet. You know, quite frankly, I don't remember what life was like before fax machine. So we're going to be talking with Fred Von Lohman. He's an attorney, and he's going to be talking to us coming from the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Andre, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm outstanding.
You know, unfortunately, I didn't get to hear it from the beginning, talking about the chicken and all, but one question that popped into my mind is with all the arsenic that's in, especially the commercial stuff, the fast food stuff, how did he find the levels of arsenic, like in particular areas of the country?
They only tested two areas. They tested them in from St. Paul, Minnesota, and they tested the chicken from, it was a small study, chicken tested in San Francisco.
Okay.
So those are the two geographical places where the chickens came from.
Well, see, I would be interested to know how the arsenic levels would compare, say, with North St. Louis or any black metropolitan area as opposed to some of the suburban areas.
Well, and there are a million questions that arise out of this, and also the types of chicken places that I'd like to see if there's a variance in the quality of chicken that a Church's Fried Chicken purchases, because they all get their chicken from, they could get their chicken from different dealers.
Right.
So does Church's purchase a lower grade of chicken than, say, a KFC does,
yeah,
or Popeye's does?
Right.
All of those things would be good to know. Do places that have more money, do they get a different level of chicken, or do they not? Because what was interesting is that they found that the chicken in the Church's chicken had higher levels, at least the Church's chicken purchased in California had higher levels than the Church's chicken purchased in St. Paul, Minnesota. Mm-hmm. I mean, the KFC chicken purchased in Minnesota. So right there, we know that if they're buying chicken from San Francisco, totally different type of a place than Minnesota, and there's more arsenic in that Church's chicken than in the St. Paul, Minnesota KFC chicken.
Yeah, the study definitely needs to be expanded, because
mm-hmm.
There are a lot of ways you can go with that. Just like you got the arsenic in the chicken, you also have high levels of mercury in fish,
mm-hmm.
and you have that problem in different areas.
And what I think with the really good point that was made by the author of the study is that Europe doesn't allow, there are no acceptable levels of poison in our food. And there shouldn't be. How could there be an acceptable level of arsenic? And imagine going to trial for murder. Well, you know, Judge, I thought that was an acceptable level of arsenic.
Well, you know, as an aside, one last thing. Arsenic, one of the really good uses for it, but you can't use it anymore, is an embalming fluid. But that's been outlawed since the turn of the century
Because of poisoning.
Because once it's in the body, you can't tell whether it was there
the use of the embalming agent or whether the person was poisoned to death.
Mm.
But once you embalm a body with arsenic, it's permanent.
Mm.
It'll never decay.
There you go. What does that tell you about what? Whether or not arsenic should be part of the food chain.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Andre. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, I'll be back in the next hour. Stay with me.
Was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, there's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. You're mad? Well, so are they. And now Congress is leaning on President Bush to do something about the ever-rising price of gas. Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist says it better not be due to price gouging.
In that letter, we asked both the FTC and the DOJ to investigate and to examine to make sure that markets are not being manipulated in any way as we look to the future.
That announcement is expected at any time. Now the president is expected to say that he will temporarily halt deposits to the nation's strategic petroleum reserves to make more oil available to consumers. And if he doesn't...
Across the country, some drivers are taking a more extreme step, pawning to pump. Selling off chainsaws, musical instruments, and guns. Chris Waters from Alabama pawned her wedding ring.
I hopefully will never have to pawn anything again for gas, but if they keep going up, it looks like a lot of my jewelry will be in the pawn shop for gas just to make it back and forth to work.
That's ABC's Dan Harris. It is back to work for the jury in the trial of Zakarias Moussaoui. Members have to decide whether they will give the accused Al-Qaeda member life in prison or the death penalty. He is the only person that the U.S. has charged in relation to 9/11. The attorney for Reed Seligman, one of the Duke University lacrosse players accused in a rape scandal, wants to know more about the woman who made the accusation.
Seligman is just one of three lacrosse players that the alleged victim is accusing of attacking her. The second lacrosse player claims to have an alibi, and the third player has yet to be named. As for the issue of whether drugs were used, that will be determined, or that may best be determined, when the toxicology tests come back.
ABC's Heather Nowich in Durham, North Carolina. It's cleanup time in parts of Oklahoma after at least two tornadoes touched down, one causing damage to the airport near El Reno. A reporter saw the first few terrifying moments of the twist. As he says, it was like nothing he'd ever seen before. Several people were hurt. This is ABC News.
Young man, you don't have to feel down. I say, woman, call Applebee's in your town. Take your seat and you can wear your nightgown. There's no need to be so hungry. Car size to go. If so is Applebee's, car size to go. Without leaving your car, you can think of your meal. Great food, fast, and let your tires squeal.
And participating locations.
I'm Ben, and this is Psychic Connection, your source for spirits and paranormal. The caller's Meredith.
Ben, what's the easiest way to get around a city I've never been to?
The answer is kind of murky.
For the easiest route to any address in America, you want to ask TomTom, not Ben.
Turn left.
TomTom Go is your portable, everyday GPS solution. Easily moved from car to car. Just tap the screen and a helpful voice guides you on your way.
You have reached your destination.
TomTom Go. Find your way the easy way. Learn more at TomTom.com.
President Bush can't get no satisfaction from the Rolling Stones. Seems he wants to stay in one particular hotel during a European summit this summer, but the Stones already have dibs on the room.
Mick Jagger not singing that tune for President Bush. He and the Rolling Stones grabbed the best rooms in the house at Vienna's five-star Imperial Hotel this summer for the same week President Bush wanted it. Nothing doing, said Jagger, who's a loud critic of the president's war in Iraq. London's The Sun newspaper reporting that hotel has confirmed the Secret Service gave the hotel a once-over, then looked elsewhere. Former Presidents Reagan, Kennedy, and the senior George Bush all stayed at the Imperial, but for this president... Andy Field, ABC News.
Your paperboy is probably a mom or a dad, the job that used to be done almost exclusively by a tween or a teenage boy on a bike. Is now almost handled by adults in cars who work for companies. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU News Update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a Jefferson County man will spend the rest of his life behind bars for the murder of a mid-Missouri jeweler. Teddy Davison Jr. was sentenced yesterday to life plus 20 years in prison for the December 2002 murder of John Slayton. Davison was convicted of first-degree murder and robbery last month. Prosecutors say Davison and his son killed Slayton in a plot to steal his inventory. Davison's son Eric is awaiting trial on a murder charge, and his nephew Michael faces evidence tampering charges for allegedly helping to dispose of Slayton's body. Catherine Hanaway can remove the interim from her title as the U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Missouri. An investiture ceremony for Hanaway took place yesterday at the Eagleton Federal Courthouse in downtown St. Louis. Hanaway is the 46th U.S. Attorney from Eastern Missouri. She has served on an interim basis since last July. Finally this hour, a local child welfare agency is getting a financial boost. The best chefs in the St. Louis region took part in last night's 11th annual Chef's Night Out, which raised money for the Edgewood Children's Center. Wayne Kruhl, the president and CEO of the center, says this money will help the center continue to serve the more than 3,000 area children a year who use their services.
We provide an array of services that include psychiatric day treatment, residential psychiatric treatment. We also provide prevention services designed for supporting families with children with mental health issues. We provide support services.
Kruhl says he hopes that last night's event raised at least $90,000 for the center. Over the last 11 years, the annual event has raised more than $330,000. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Midas. What's the most important safety feature of your car? Midas believes it's the person who does your brakes. Don't trust your brakes to just anyone. Trust America's leader in brakes. Trust the Midas Touch. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. Westbound 40 between 270 and Mason with four slight delays after an earlier accident. Westbound 40 at Hampton, there's an accident reported. Eastbound 70 at 170, look for an accident there. Westbound 270 at Canal Bridge and Chain of Rocks Bridge. Bridge maintenance operations have reduced to one lane. Eastbound 40 at Van Deventer to the right lane is closed and traffic is slow through the construction zone. Northbound 270 between Gravois and Marshall, look for slow traffic. Westbound 70 and 94 road construction right lane is closed. And westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and New Halls Ferry, look for bridge maintenance operations. In fact, there are several construction sites underway, so just use caution as you roll up to those areas. The bridge approaches downtown at the Poplar Street and the Kingbridge traffic are easing this hour. That is a look at this hour's traffic. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Illinois Lottery. There's a new game to play and more ways to win with four new pick-and-play games from the Illinois Lottery. Monopoly, Poker, Lucky Dough, and Bingo, all from the Illinois Lottery. See retailer for the details. Have a ball. Play responsibly. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Thursday. Breezy, cooler showers and thunderstorms throughout the day with a high around 60, although we're already above that high right now. This evening, breezy, colder, mostly cloudy with low and lower 40s. Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high in the lower 60s, and Thursday, mostly sunny with a high around 70. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 66 degrees. Lambert Fields reporting 65. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call is up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, how can you sit down? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back nine inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
The hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equality.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Also, if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. And how else can you do it? Well, you can call me at 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And don't forget, my show is archived at whiteroses society.org. That's whiteroses society.org. You can check out a show that you missed. You can also check out the iPodding capabilities of WhiteRoseSociety.org as well. So you have all kinds of ways to get in contact with me. You need to take advantage of that. And I do want to do a shout-out right now. Two pieces of bookkeeping information. One, we didn't do the, because the Liz Brown, because I care package, because we care package. We didn't get to do that last Friday, so that there will be an extra drawing. Those of you that put your names in last week, don't worry. We've saved your names, and your names are going to be drawn in two different drawings that we're going to have this week. So stay tuned. You will be able to, if you called in last week, don't worry. We're going to have a drawing with those names and a drawing with the names from this week as well. So we're going to give away lots of Liz Brown Because We Care packages. And then secondly, a second bookkeeping issue. I will be looking for interns this summer, and I'm looking for resumes and contacts right now. So if you are interested in being an intern on the Wake Up Call for this summer, you can call me at 367-2743. That's 367-2743. Or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. I've had a wonderful crew of interns last year. Looking for another wonderful crew of interns this year for the Wake Up Call. I don't know, I got a really special letter from one of my interns from last summer that really, really made me feel like it really, really mattered what we did. So I'm really looking forward to getting another crew of Wake Up Call, Liz Brown Wake Up Call interns this summer. So if you are interested, you can call me at 367-2743, or you can email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown, LIZZBrown.com. Either one of those ways you need if you have an intern, if you know somebody that's looking for or that wants an intern, if you're a grandmother out there that has a son or grandson or granddaughter, or a mother or father out there that has a daughter or a son that wants to do some interning, have them contact me at 367-2743 or email me at revolution@lizbrown.com, lizbrown.com. I know that we are supposed to be having a conversation with Fred von Lohman. And we need to, we're having trouble contacting our guests, getting in contact with our guests, so we're going to move on to a couple of other issues that I want to discuss with you. I think that we really need to pay attention to what has happened in Cairo. I really do. We really need to, at least coming out of Egypt, we need to pay attention to the fact that 18 people were killed at this Egyptian resort city. This is a big issue. 18 people, 22 people, actually, I think the number has gone up to 22. And the number of wounded is 150. And this is an explosion. This was, these were explosions. These were simultaneous explosions. and they occurred at shops. It occurred in a place where there are shops, where there are restaurants, where there are bars, or where there are guest house. The blast took place around 7:15. And what's significant about the timing of that is this is the time where people would have been out and about. This is when the streets were jammed with tourists, Egyptians, Europeans, Israelis, expatriates living in Egypt. And also, it strikes at tourists, but it also strikes at the tourist industry in Egypt. Are you going to want to go to Egypt when you're thinking that you can be, it's like being in Israel or being someplace where bombs go off all the time, it appears that bombs go off all of the time. And I don't know, there's just a different way of doing things. There's actually a restaurant in this town called, are you ready for this? The Al Capone Restaurant. And interestingly enough, that was one of the restaurants that was, first of all, the most popular, and second of all, completely destroyed. At the restaurant, there is nothing there. The tables and the chairs have gone. There is nothing left. Everybody is panicking. A lot of people are crying. We will be affected by this for a long, long time. One British tourist talked about how there was no warning whatsoever. There were three loud bangs, and people started rushing around. 22 bodies have been recovered, and there may very well be far more than that. The International Hospital there said that 12 bodies and 23 people with serious injuries have been brought to the emergency room alone. This is a big deal. This is a big, big deal. And what is also interesting is that there is no connection being made yet with whether or not this is an Al-Qaeda issue. And George W. Bush came out with a statement, "I strongly condemn the killings that took place." Well, more and more of this is happening on your watch. More and more of this is happening on your watch. And there are plenty in the world that would make the argument, that would state the claim, that would take the position that the reason why tensions are so high and people are willing to kill is because of the atmosphere that has been developed by you, an atmosphere that has been exploited by you, an atmosphere that has been enhanced by you. And that's an atmosphere of retaliation, an atmosphere of attack, and an atmosphere of punishment. I just kind of have to try to tie this to the death penalty case that is going on, or the death penalty decision that is being made by the jury right now in the Moussaoui case. Moussaoui didn't kill anybody. He advocated the killing of people during trial. And then let's go to the Saddam Hussein trial. Saddam Hussein is being charged with killing people who he said wanted to kill him, that were tried and convicted of making death threats against him. Now, put aside, imagine you're in a courtroom, and put aside your emotional feelings about Saddam Hussein. Those of you that have emotional feelings about Saddam Hussein. And just hold my hand as we take a little teeny tiny stroll down memory lane to something that George W. Bush said. In the build up to this preemptive strike on Iraq, and correct me if I'm wrong, didn't George W. Bush say that one of the reasons why he wanted Saddam Hussein dead was because Saddam Hussein did what? Come on, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, you know the answer to this. Saddam Hussein tried to kill my daddy. So, George Bush is saying, if I'm understanding these words correctly, it is legitimate to want to kill, it is legitimate to kill someone who wants to kill, tried to kill your daddy. Okay, all right. All right. Saddam Hussein is saying that he killed people who tried to kill him. You feel me on this? So help me with what is wrong about this. I mean, if we're going to take the stance of, if we're going to have a trial, are we trying him for something that George W. Bush said was a reason enough for us to go to take a whole nation into war to try to kill this man? I'm just asking. I have a bit of a problem. I have a bit of a problem with that. Oh, that's right. George W. Bush is the decider. He likes it because he thinks he's saying dictator. I'm the decider. I get to decide who lives and who dies. The decider. How have some of those decisions worked out for us? You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning. I called to talk about flip-flopping W. Now, I want your listening audience to realize the choice of words he made when he said we were addicted to oil. Now, he knows a lot about that word addiction. So maybe that's why he used the word addiction, because he's been addicted to several hardcore drugs. And I wouldn't say that we were addicted to anything. We might be dependent on oil, which is, I don't think that's our fault.
No, Christine, I think you're being unfair. And I think that you're not really, I think that the point is well made, that we need to pay attention to the words that Boy George chooses. And I think that we also, when we are evaluating the words that George W. Bush uses, that Boy George uses, we also have to factor in the psychological assessment of projection. I think that there is an addiction to oil. I don't think we have it. I think that he has it. Mm-hmm. And he's projecting upon us the things that are all about him. He is addicted to oil, and so is everybody else in his cabinet. They wouldn't be worth 2 plug nickels if but for their addiction to oil. And what is the evidence of their addiction? That you are, how do you know that you're addicted? Well, you'd kill to get your stuff, okay? You put your family in harm's way to get your stuff. You would steal, you would rob, you would harm to get your stuff. Tell me what part of stealing, robbing, and assault that the president of Exxon hasn't engaged in to get his stuff.
It's, and no one really takes him seriously. And just if he wanted to do something, he could make it possible for this alternative to oil or gasoline to be more accessible to the American people by putting some of these pumps at every gas station, so that they could be able to fill up on an alternative fuel.
And what I find interesting are the people, the defenders of Boy George, out there already trying to plant the seed that most Americans don't believe that Boy George could do something about these oil prices. If he can spy on us against the law, he could do something about oil prices. If he all it would take is one statement from Boy George saying, you know what, the people that are gouging you are going to jail. And we're going to put a tax on excessive profits. I guarantee you, gas prices would be down to 99 cents a gallon if he said that and meant that and tried to do that.
And just like you said, and we said before, there are going to be those Bush defenders to the end of the road.
BDs. That's right. They're the BDs forever. BDs forever. And you know, a fool and their money is soon parted, you know, well... you know, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. That one wasn't too good. 454-6609 is my fax, my toll-free long-distance number was 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. The fact of the matter is that the oil prices are George W. Bush's fault. Period, dot, end of conversation. If you are sitting in the office of the presidency of the United States, you could pick up the phone tomorrow and you could say, Walmart, I want you to lower the prices on tractors. I want you to do that. Do it for me. I need you to do this. Walmart would say, bet. We're going to get this on the back end. George W. Bush said, bet. You'll get this back on the back end. There are phone calls that are being made every day to impact on every aspect of your life. All it would take is a phone call, the ability to use a phone, and the ability to open your mouth and say, knock it off. You're making me look bad. Stop the prices from going up so high. You could do that. He could do that tomorrow. Problem is, he chooses not to and wants to blame it on everybody else. We do not have to be paying $3 a gallon for gas, $4 a gallon of gas at the beginning of the driving season when, again, we are using less gas this time this year than we were this time last year. It is your fault. It is boy George's fault that gas prices are $3 and higher per gallon. And he needs to take responsibility. And if he does not take responsibility, we need to take responsibility. It is his fault, and it is his to change. All it would take is one phone call. Instead of making phone calls to his buddies where he's telling them, hang in there, we can ride this storm. You get to keep your profits. I'm not going to mess with your money. I'm not going to mess with your money. I'm not going to mess with your money. Because if it wasn't so, if he didn't believe, if you don't believe that all it would take is a phone call, ask yourself why the oil industry folks spend hundreds of millions of dollars on these campaigns. It's not just for the laws that they can practice. It's for the atmosphere and the climate that's being created. Was it a law that Dick Cheney passed when he wouldn't tell us about the secrets that were going on in the meetings that he was having with the energy people? No, it wasn't a law. That was the force of his personality and the force of his criminal mind. I don't have to tell them anything, and I'm not going to. And the oil industry knew they could rely upon Dick Cheney for that. All it would take is a phone call. My name is Liz Brown. This is the wake-up call. We're taking a break. Stay with me. 454-0400 is my phone number. Stay with me. We are taking a break.
Register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now.
The Dimensions Dance Center presents a benefit concert at Wydown School on Saturday at 7 p.m. The center will showcase a wide variety of dance styles with pieces from all five resident companies. Tickets are $5 to $10, and sales will help finance studio programs such as the Scholarship Fund and outreach efforts. To find out more, call 314-997-7837. News to you from WGNU.
This is Alan Brainerd inviting you to join me every Wednesday for Design 411. Whether you live in a mansion or a studio apartment, my guests and I will share new and exciting ways to make your home truly attractive. Please join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411. Wednesdays at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where you'll get the 411 on the things that matter most to you.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you Christmas cheer. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you a marriage ring and a pomegranate.
No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you. Connect Care, still connected to the community. At Connect Care, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to Connect Care. The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the Wake Up Call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in
the
September.
The Alton Little Theater in Illinois presents Over the River and Through the Woods beginning on Friday. Showtimes are 8 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday and 2 p.m. on Sundays. Tickets are $12 for adults and $6 for students. For information, call 618-462-6562. Theater news to you from WGNU.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Big Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. My number is 1-877-920-WGNU. Get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, young lady. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
You definitely are. This is TC. I don't remember was it the Korean veteran or Mr. Davis who used to always say, teach, Liz, teach. You teach a young lady. Also, not only is he the President of the United States, he was holding hands with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, which is the number one ally of this country in the Middle East. And all he had to do, all he has to do, is make a phone call to the number one oil-producing country in the world. And to say that he can't do anything about it, he's lying. And I'm tired of people making excuses and comparing, well, milk is $3 a gallon. I don't need to drink milk.
That's fat. I don't. I haven't had milk in 20 years.
But American citizens need to get back and forth to work. And saying they don't have any control over it, the Clinton administration, when they had that spike in gasoline prices in the Midwest, around Chicago, Milwaukee, and that area, this administration just mentioned looking at why it spiked so. And immediately, not 2 weeks later, not a month later, but the very next day, the gas price went down exactly where it was before.
Okay, well,
this clown can do something about it.
Yes, he can.
And the reason he don't, and you just mentioned, somebody's making a lot of money, Dick Cheney, and all the rest of those crooks. But I don't blame them. I blame the clown that voted for this clown not once, but twice. And the information was out there about this guy.
All right. Thank you, TC.
All right. Thank you. Love you.
All right. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. A breaking news story. George W. Bush has just issued an order directing the Energy Department to stop deliveries of oil to the nation's strategic reserve. He says this may help the rising price of gasoline. So let's just break this down for a second. Okay, I don't know everything. I don't know necessarily how things are connected. But again, let me repeat this breaking news story. He must be listening to the wake-up call and feeling what folks are saying. Now, just bear with me again. I'm going to repeat this story, breaking news story. George W. Bush will issue an order, has just issued an order, directing the Energy Department to stop deliveries of oil to the nation's strategic reserve. He says this may help the rising price of gasoline. Number one, I don't believe that that's what he has done. Number two, I believe he has done just what I said that he should do. I believe that he has made the phone calls to his buddies because, again, this is something that is visceral. It is inescapable. It is harmful. It is, people are blaming him for the high price of gasoline. What does that mean to a lame duck president? It doesn't mean jack to a lame duck president, but it means everything to a Republican Party that wants to stay in power. This is the true trickle-down theory. All the mess that George Bush is engaged in trickles down on or rains down on or pours down on or showers down on the Republican Party that has propped him up and kept him up there. Oh, it's landing. Gas prices are making people, it's like Christmas. Tell me why gas prices went down right before Christmas. Did he make a phone call to stop deliveries of the oil to the nation's strategic reserve? No. He picked up the phone, made a phone call, and said, look, our economy is the health of our economy is determined by how much money people spend during Christmas. That's why you see Christmas trees up in September in department stores. Because they want you to start thinking about Christmas and buying for Christmas in September. They have Christmas trees up before they have Halloween costumes out. Why? Because our economy, the health of our economy is decided based upon how much money we spend during the holidays. Therefore, gasoline prices went down because people weren't going to buy a lot of Christmas presents when they had to spend a lot of money on gas. And here's what's happening right now. It's not the economy of the nation that George W. Bush is responding to. It's the future of the Republican Party. They made some phone calls. They made some phone calls because they don't want to give people like me. They don't want to give Democrats, they don't want to give anybody any more issues to run on to the White House. They've made a decision. Now, trust me, the oil boys are not going to hurt. His buddies are not going to get hurt. The people that are making these decisions and making money and gouging us, they ain't going to get hurt. Let me ask you this. If you don't think I'm telling the truth, ask me what George W. Bush has done to Kenny Boy Lay. Ask me what he's done to Kenny Boy Lay, his best buddy. His name wouldn't be Kenny Boy if George hadn't conferred the name upon him. This is about the future of a Republican Party and the future of their control, their majority in the United States House and the United States Senate and in the presidency. That's what this is about. That's what this is about. Marty,
You know what, Liz? Good morning.
Good morning.
You know what? I was looking at this thing on Notre Dame, and they had this one word called Mabush, and they tried to make it look like Bin Laden. They tried to make it look like Hussein. They twisted it every which way to make it look like these guys were involved, but they didn't look at the last part of that word. If you take that M-A off of it and just put B-U-S, you got closer to his name than anything, Bush, period. But my thing is, what they are trying to do...
And who's the they we're talking about?
This is George Bush.
Okay.
And, you know, they're talking about who was the Antichrist and all that. But my thing is, what they are trying to do, and American people will shut their eyes to the fact that they'll wait till things get all the way down, or wait till gas prices get sky high. And then, just when they scare people about it being $4 a gallon, they'll drop it down to like $3.50 or something like that. And they'll herd people right back to where they want them.
All they're trying to do, Marty, you are absolutely right. The other piece of what they're trying to do is getting people comfortable with a $3 gallon of gas.
Exactly. And that's exactly what they'll do. And then they're going to try, when things get desperate enough, you watch how many things turn around, which they could have done a long time ago. They're going to bring their buddy, all of a sudden they're going to catch Bin Laden.
No, they ain't going to catch Bin Laden.
Well, you know, they're going to try to lose him again, because, you know, his father and them, they're family friends with the Bin Ladens and stuff. People forget that they got short-term memories. When that 9/11 thing, all the planes that were flying out of U.S. was the Bin Laden family.
That's fact. All right. Thank you, Marty.
You're welcome.
454-0400. Gary.
Yes, Liz, my grass is not growing well this year. I think it's Mr. Bush's fault, since you seem to think everything else is. I think it's his fault somehow my grass
Gary,
is not
where do you
growing
live?
Well.
Where do you live, Gary?
Oh, south of here.
What's your address?
514 Oak Terrace.
Okay, I've never been to 514 Oak Terrace, Gary, so how on earth could I blame George Bush for something that I don't have anything else for? And I think that people like you, Gary, are all BDs, as I call them, Bush defenders. People like you are always trying to find an excuse, just like people like Kenny Boy Lay always blame everybody else but himself, but for the crimes that have been committed. You will blame everybody else. You will
conviction?
Not yet. We don't know yet.
Oh, not yet. Well,
not
like
yet.
Mr. Clinton, there was a conviction, right?
No, there wasn't a conviction. He wasn't convicted of anything.
He was guilty of fraud in front of a grand jury. That's
Gary, you think that you're a lawyer, but you've never been to law school or college or high school. Simply because you have been found guilty of perjury, that's not a criminal charge. He was not charged criminally for that. Come on, Gary. You're not a lawyer anymore. The only thing that you are is a BD, a Bush defender, and that explains why you get the facts so wrong all the time. And, you know, I would have found it more acceptable that your grass is not growing, and it's the fault of George W. Bush and his global warming policies. I would have accepted that. But the fact that your grass is growing, no, that's not George Bush, because if he has his way, there will be a whole lot of things that aren't growing in this nation. A whole lot of things that are not growing. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake-Up Call. Get up. Get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. I'll be back.
That excites me, that thrills and delights me. Oh no, yes, just an earnest view.
Wednesday morning on The Wake-Up Call, our guest during the 8 o'clock hour will be Nebraska State Representative Ernie Chambers, the only black representative in the entire state. He pushed a measure through the legislature that will establish a new type of public schooling described as learning communities. It will also change the tax formula to fund these communities in an entirely new manner. Critics say he set integration back decades because it will create a black, a white, and a Hispanic district for students in Omaha. We'll hear from Senator Ernie Chambers, described by some as the angriest black man in Nebraska, Wednesday morning at 8 on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
ConnectCare, still connected to the community. At ConnectCare, we take our commitment seriously. Our connection to the community is not just providing superior specialty care. Our connection is not just providing world-class urgent care at our Smiley Urgent Care Center. Keeping our connection to the community is something we do every single day. From our free clothes closet for our patients, our breast cancer support group, our nationally recognized celebrity senior program, or the fact that we're home to the Ryan White HIV/AIDS program. Keeping connected to the community matters to ConnectCare. Time again to register for the Friday Because We Care drawing. Be the third caller at 454-6660, and your name goes in the box to win a Because We Care package this Friday during the last part of the 9 o'clock hour. The third caller at 454-6660 gets registered. Call now. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Rome. The Catholic Church is considering a proposal to allow the use of condoms by people who have AIDS. The official church position is that abstinence is the best way to handle the HIV and AIDS crisis. But last week, a retired archbishop from Milan proposed that in a relationship where one partner is infected, the use of condoms would be a lesser evil. This issue is extremely controversial among Catholics, and the Church has come under heavy criticism for its current position. It's believed the Pope has asked the Vatican Council on Healthcare to make a study on this proposal. And Dateline Denver. Some infighting with racial overtones has taken place in the Colorado legislature. Representative Terrence Carroll, who is black, took issue with the Minutemen Project, volunteers who patrol border areas and round up illegals. Carroll compared them to the Ku Klux Klan, saying that they claim to be war veterans and God-fearing Christians defending the American way of life. And that synopsis is just like what the Klan said when they were in their glory. A few days later, Carroll said he got an email from someone purporting to be a Minuteman member. The email said Carroll should get off the booze and quit selling out the people who put him in office. And if he wanted to help illegals, he ought to go to their country and represent them. It concluded by saying he was lucky that lynching wasn't around anymore. Carroll made the email public, but then he was criticized by Representative Dave Schultes, a white man, who said he was blowing the issue out of proportion and there was not even any proof the writer of the email belonged to the Minutemen. Schultes is himself a member of the Minutemen Project. Then, Representative Rosemary Marshall, a black woman, called Schultes a racist SOB and a disgrace to the legislature during a speech on the floor of the Colorado House. Marshall said Schultes had no business making light of any correspondence that talked about lynching a black man because that has deeply rooted meanings of racism. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. No more calls for the Friday drawing. We have our winner. No more calls at this time, please. Thank you.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Tune in weekday afternoons from 2 till 5 on AM 920 WGNU. Dial 1-800-DR-LAURA and let's take on the day together.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huzz. Join me Thursday nights after the 7 o'clock news right here on Radio 920 as we circle the bases. Join my roundtable guests and myself as we talk about what's happening in the world of sports, baseball, football, basketball, hockey. Yeah, we'll even talk a little NASCAR, and yeah, we'll even talk a little poker. We'll circle the bases. That's what the show's all about. 7:05, Thursday night, right here on Radio 920.
The Wake Up Call is seeking volunteer student interns for media research, publicity, and radio production. Interns will have a chance to develop writing, research, and public relations skills, as well as gain broad knowledge of both corporate and independent media. Educational background should include public administration, journalism, or the social sciences with emphasis on political science. Duties include research, web support, media monitoring, and administrative tasks. Effective skills to carry out these duties include word processing, data entry, electronic communications, online research, and public speaking. Interns will work up to 15 hours per week. Students who wish to obtain course credit will have the wake-up call's full cooperation in meeting institutional requirements. Intern applicants may reply to 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's 367-2743 or to revolution@lizbrown.com. That's L-I-Z-Z. The Wake Up Call's 2006 intern program begins May 30th and concludes in September. What you need to know, when you need to know it. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. I am Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to toll free, long distance me, do that number. Local number is 314-454-0400, and email is revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. These are amazing times that we are living in, folks. And I believe that, I truly believe that there are going to be some changes made this election cycle. There are going to be changes made. And you know what? Bush can do what he wants to do or whatever he decides to do with this, with the oil prices. I mean, with the gas prices. The fact of the matter is this, that it's not going to be enough because gas prices are too high. I am not interested in, and nobody should be interested in, keeping the prices where they are right now. Gas prices should go down. And if they don't go down, it is George Bush's fault. It is his fault that Americans are being spied upon. It is his fault that Americans are dying. It is his fault that the world hates us. It is his fault that tens of thousands of jobs are leaving. It is his fault. If Saddam Hussein is being tried for the things that happened under his watch and at his direction, if that is a fair and legitimate thing to happen to Saddam Hussein, because leaders of countries are responsible for the good and the bad that take place under their watch, then we need to lay the blame where the blame is supposed to be placed, at the feet of George W. Bush. It is his fault. And God forgive me, I am quoting Newt Gingrich, who said that the Democrats need to run on the motto, had enough, had enough. And the fact of the matter is that we may never recover from all that we have gotten under the reign of the decider, Boy George. and the how we as a nation have gotten to a place where an ex-cheerleader, F-student, is deciding any failed businessman, substance abuser, is deciding anything for anyone. I'll never know. And how scary of a place that the decider is a dude like that. A dude that appears to have decided, made a decision, a poor decision, about everything in his life. Made a poor decision about the use of drugs. Made a poor decision about whether or not he was going to study and try to get good grades. Made a poor decision in making his own business. How this dude gets to be your decider is a scary, scary, scary thing. How the heck did he get to be a decider about anything? 454-0400 is my phone number. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. You don't want to miss the show tomorrow. As usual, we have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch, but also a discussion with the angriest black man in the state of Nebraska. He wants to have three different school districts, a black one, a white one, a brown one, and the tax plan to pay for all of them. We're going to have that discussion tomorrow. The angriest black man in the state of Nebraska. So stay with us and be with us. Same time, same place tomorrow. Until then, stay strong.
Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that the low knee.
I think I'm hearing revolution. The air from the brothers.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing
the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Aldinger.
The prices that people are paying at the gas pumps reflect our addiction to oil.
And President Bush says he's committed to doing something about it. He's laid out a plan which he says he hopes will bring gas prices down. He's temporarily stopping the deposits to the nation's strategic petroleum reserve to make more oil available to consumers. And from there,
we need to expand our refining capacity. One of the problems we face is that we got tight supplies because we haven't expanded refining capacity. There hadn't been a new refinery built in 30 years.
The president's also calling for more